this is the way the colonial settlers made their butter. Would anyone like to take a turn?
This is PFW in progress.
Yeah, over here. Let him do it. He's had a lot of practice.
PFW in progress.
Yeah, I'm familiar with the motion.
Yeah, he churns it about four times a day.
With Fred Kirsch.
What's your name, Patriot?
My name's
Paul Perillo.
I'm on my senior class trip. I'm here from Lexington, Mass., home state of Paul Revere, John Hancock, and Noma! Noma!
Okay, you want a turn?
And Andy. And Andy?
Ooh, wow, you got strong arms. He would have definitely survived the hardships of a colonial lifestyle.
Andy Hart.
Hey, Matthew Washington. I can't understand a freaking word you're saying. The accent makes you sound retarded.
The Sheriff, Tom Casale.
Why are y'all taping this?
Yeah, I do all my projects on video because I suffer from several as yet unnamed learning disabilities.
He did not get proper nutrition during his toddler years.
Swear to God.
Yeah, his mother's breast milk's like Bailey's Irish cream.
And you never know, Lori might stop by.
Hey, where'd you get that dress? Ye old house of juggery?
PFW in progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Yeah, the job market is really ridiculous right now.
Yeah, I got fired from Tom McCann for using the foot measure inappropriately.
Apparently my weed is a lady size
5. All right, welcome to PFW in progress. The gang is all... Where's Tom? Is Tom in?
Haven't seen him. He told me that he told you a week ago he had a doctor's appointment.
Well, okay. Well, I don't remember. Anyway.
Yes, he said you were fiddling with some new gadget at the time, and he assumed you didn't recall.
All right. Well, Tom's not here, but everyone else is. Paul had to go to the bathroom. Andy's
yes.
here. Gary's here. And there are two orders of lunch here. So big shout out to Matt and Wasika and Chris from the Bronx. You guys are just too good to us.
This is unbelievable.
It's really...
Excellent.
Your generosity has brought me to the edge of tears. So because you sent us the emails, of course, we'll get right to your emails. It's webradio@patriots.com is the email address, webradio@patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. And let's see. Matt says... sorry I didn't get food to you on Friday. I worded the email wrong, which made you think you were getting it today. Gary, I got your chicken Caesar salad, but I didn't get mini Gary covered, so maybe you can give him your lunch you brought from home. Next time, he's covered if he still works there. Well, that's a question, right? We don't know. On to the email. This is from Matt.
Why is that? Where's he going?
Well, you know, Gary's a tough boss. He might fire him.
Oh, that's a good point, Fred.
Yeah. I was having a conversation with one of my friends who's a Colts fan before the San Diego game, and he told me that I should be rooting for Tennessee in that game because the Jags are a scary opponent for the Patriots to play. He stated that the running game to control the time of possession, the run-stopping D, the physical corners were all good reasons why the Pats might lose. I argued that the Jags are a team that are either on or off, and that even if they were on, they would not be able to put up enough points against this offense. I saw enough of the Jags in their two games against Indy this year that prove they aren't ready to make the next step to become a great team. I really like the Jaguars and think that if they were in the NFC, I would probably root for them every year because they dominated against the Packers, Seahawks, and Giants. Just because David Garrard threw less picks than Brady this year doesn't mean he won't make mistakes. I think he will have at least two turnovers in this game because he'll be trying to do more than in normal games to keep up with the offense. I know Tom's opinion because he agrees with me, and Fred will take the Patriots by 50, but I'd like to get Paul and Andy's opinion on this, but not Eric's. It was great to hear from Craig to make sure he's alive, but now that we know he is, I don't want to hear from him for at least 6 weeks. I don't want him to jinx us during the playoffs. And the last thing, please ease up on Chris Ferreira, because as a person who also works in IT, it's not always easy to deal with people dumber than you are, right, Chris? And Chris, now that I defended you, I expect you to call into the show and prove you're not a major douchebag, cork-soaking a-hole like Paul. Keep up the good work, and Tom, you rule.
Well, Chris can't call in, because that would not prove anything of that nature.
That wasn't nice, Matt. But you were very, very nice, however, sending us
Matt, you can say whatever you want about
so
all
you can
of
say
us.
Absolutely anything.
So that is Matt from Wasika. And
what did he want our opinion on? The Jaguars?
Yeah.
Just
basically.
In general?
Yeah.
I think the passing game
not
is
quite ready.
About. Yeah. I
they're
kind
a
next of agree.
Tier team.
I agree with Matt, actually, the way he talked about them. They're a hot and cold team.
I would, yeah. If they were in the NFC, I think they'd have a great chance to go to the Super Bowl. I think they're that next-tier AFC-type team, which makes you more battle-tested. Clearly, they're physical. They have some playmakers on both sides of the ball. I still don't have a lot of confidence in Del Rio. I actually think he, you know, a lot of people think he's like...
He may be the weak link.
The next tier of like a coach, that he's a really good coach and he deserved all these votes for Coach of the Year and that he's like on the verge of becoming a very good coach. I just don't see it. I think he's still the emotional ex-player. I think he holds them back. And I think they sort of saw that, and that's why you look at their staff. They have a couple assistant head coaches. And then the coordinators, they have a little bit of a bigger staff, kind of like Washington does. But I just don't see any way they come into New England and pull off the upset. No way.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with Andy and with Matt, the way they talked about the Jags in general. I do think they're a pretty good team. I'm not saying that they're stiffs. That I don't think they're overrated. I think the aspect that they have the blueprint or is that they somehow will present problems with the style that they play against the Patriots, I think that element of Jacksonville is overrated. But I think as a team, they're pretty solid. But I can't get past, and the stuff that Tom and Andy and I have been talking about, you know, for the better part of the season, when they have these chances to make statements, they usually don't. And I think that they're 1-7 against New England and Indianapolis in the last couple of years. I think Tom wrote that in his preview for this game.
Does that mean it's right?
No, well, that's why I completely washed my hands of the stat, just in case it's not right. They had a good win in Pittsburgh late in the season, and they followed that up with another good win. I mean, any win on the road in the playoffs is a good win, so I give them credit for that. I think that's a good, solid win, but I agree with Andy. I think there is a notch below the Indies and the Patriots and the AFC, you know, that level of a team. I think in the NFC they would be formidable.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with everything that was just said.
Now, that being said, they seem like they have a little something going on. You know, when you talk about that, you know, they're feeling good. They, you know, they rallied around. No one's ever beat Pittsburgh twice in the same year. Del Rio talked about, you know, we moved on from that. We did that. Obviously, they have a similar rallying. No one's beaten the Patriots this year.
Del Rio.
They could stamp themselves as, you know, this would be a great little story. If they knock the Steelers off twice, then they knock off the Patriots in their home. So,
oh, my God.
That would be big for
them. They might actually sell out their seats next year if they do that.
That's true. I laughed. I was doing something, looking through their media guide, and you know the year-by-year where it lists the schedule and then all the season totals?
Right.
Theirs has to have these black dots that you look down, and it says game blacked out locally. Mm-hmm. And it's just littered over the years, all the seasons.
Yeah.
A ton. And that's even with all the seats they covered up to make it a smaller capacity.
Yeah. So I agree, but I just think that the Patriots are a better team. The Patriots and the Colts are just better than the rest.
They had a week off. They're motivated. They've given them bulletin board material. Everything's there for the Patriots.
You watch the Jags against the Steelers, and you kind of forget, you know, the Steelers aren't playing that well either.
You know? I was disappointed that the Jags allowed the Steelers to come back.
Yeah.
I thought the Jags were good enough and a front-runner enough team that if they got that lead, they would just punch a Steeler, you know, knockout, end
right,
it.
Right.
And they weren't able to do that. So that actually makes me think even a little bit less of them.
So, you kind of forget because it's all relative that the Colts and the Patriots are that much better. So when you see two other teams play, it's, you know, it is impressive to see the Jags go to Pittsburgh twice and beat them in Pittsburgh. But then you got to remember that we're not talking about very good football these days.
Yeah, and I think that Andy's point, too, is good because they had a 28-10 lead. And they were in control of that game, and then they lost control of it. And I don't think a really good team does that. Now, I give them credit for regaining their composure and finding a way to stop Pittsburgh at the end of the game, albeit with a lot of help from Mike Tomlin, and also going down and getting the field goal on a great play by Garrard on the quarterback draw. But, you know, at one point late in the first half, I was watching the game with my wife. I just turned and I gave the old Shannon Sharp line. I said, call the National Guard. The Jags are killing the Steelers.
Right.
This game's over. I mean, that game was over.
It did look at that.
And there's no excuse.
We need as many men as you can
now,
spare.
And the thing is, what the Steelers did to get back in that game, spread them out, start throwing, is what the Patriots do all game.
That's what they're going to do to 99% of the teams that they face. That's going to be their game plan anyway. They're more than comfortable playing that style. That's why I just think that Jacksonville's things that they do really well don't favor them in a game like this because the Patriots don't care about, you know, about running the ball and doing those kinds of things.
And it's not like the Patriots can't play physical football. You know, they like physical
and
football.
And they like to be challenged that a team's more physical than them and all that crap. So that's why I really think all the little the rest, the bulletin board motivate, all the favor, all the factors fall in the favor of the Patriots.
Chris also sends us an email and also sent us lunch, and basically his question is the same. What do we think about the Jags? He also wanted to know why the Steelers went for two from 12, or was it the Steelers that went for two from 12 yards out? Yeah.
Yeah, after the penalty.
That seemed nuts to me, he says.
It was.
Okay. So, Chris.
I think that going, you know, down five, going for two is not a bad move midway through the fourth quarter. I thought it was late enough. I could see the argument either way, but I thought it was late enough to go for two. But when you get the holding call, which, by the way, was another colossally bad penalty call.
Terrible.
The officials, again, you know, showing themselves in all their glory. Did you watch the whole game, Fred? Did you see the catch that Santonio Holmes made late in the first half that they overturned by replay?
Yeah.
Can you explain that to me?
Terrible call.
You remember my commentary that
I
wrote? That's exactly what I'm talking about. Nobody who watches football anymore knows what a catch is.
Yeah.
The only guys that know are Mike Pereira and his band of stooges.
And according to the rule that they changed, that is a perfect example of a catch. You know? That is, he got his hands under it.
But they got the holding call and they get pushed back to the 12. Now you got to change and you say, all right, there's 6-7 minutes left here or whatever it was. We can get it. We can kick the extra point, get within four. Now we can allow a field goal and still only be down seven. You know, that's the draw of kicking the extra point instead of going for two. Chances are, from the 12-yard line, you're not going to get it. That was just a dumb play, and then you forced yourself to go for two the second time, and didn't get it that time either. So you were behind the eight ball. Ultimately, ended up losing the game by those 2 points.
All right. So Chris and Matt, thank you for the emails and for the lunch.
You're the best. Thank you very much.
Another shout-out goes to Evan Hsu. Evan told us last week about the game of the week that was on Ion Network. We had never heard about it, but it was also a game that Belichick was wired up. He sent us the DVD. I received it today and watched it before I came down. Excellent. Must see. So you guys, you're going to have to watch that when you get a chance.
We will indeed.
It's really good stuff.
For the record, I do have Ion.
I'm really looking forward to
it. I went home
and
looked. It is indeed a network where
it's 15, right?
90% of the programs are paid programming, paid programming, paid programming. You scroll through the guide, and all day long it's paid programming.
Isn't it channel 15 or 16, something like that?
Somewhere in there. Somewhere in an area where I never
go to. But you're right, Fred. Give a shout-out to Evan, because I'm looking forward to watching that, and I never would have stumbled upon that.
Freddie, we should get to the news.
Okay, let's get to the Patriots news.
Well, just variety of news. Okay. You know, this is our first day of the week.
Well, let's go.
Loose ends to clean up.
Let's go while I dig into some lunch here.
We got the Tom Brady MVP, 49 out of 50 votes, except for Sports Exchange's Frank Cooney, who had some a lot of people questioning his decision to vote for Brett Favre, but his basic, the principle he used was that Favre did less with more. He was the unquestioned leader of the youngest team in the NFL, a team that was supposed to win five or six games, won 13, and he basically, you know, Brady gets negative points because he had a very good team, a very good system that was supposed to win a lot of games.
You know, surprisingly, I don't get all over this guy because I've heard people go, well, how can he vote for Favre? Brady had 50 touchdowns. But that has nothing to do with the award.
Right.
You know, I don't. I
just think Brady's getting screwed over the course of his career.
Well, that's true.
Because last year he did more with less and he didn't win. This year he did more with more and he didn't win.
Right.
Is he ever going to win?
Wait a minute. He did win. He got 49 out of 50
votes. No, I know, but I'm saying in the one voter's mind.
Yeah, no. I mean,
using Frank Cooney's voting, when can he ever vote for Tom Brady?
My disagreement with Fred on this is not that...
Cooney vote for Brady last year? That's what I want to
know. I don't
know.
If 25 people voted for Brett Favre in this thing, I would understand and say, you know, look, you could definitely make an argument for Brett Favre. I mean, he had a great year, and they did great. But you can't say they exceeded expectations. That's not part of the criteria.
Right.
You can't make up your own rules. Just because Green Bay wasn't supposed to be as good as New England shouldn't mean that he was any better or any more valuable. Now, again, if you want to make the argument that indeed Brett Favre was more valuable to his team, I don't agree with it, but it's an argument. But these people continue to have this nebulous, I'm going to make up my own rules, and I'm going to vote the way I want. I don't understand that.
Right.
It should be pretty clear. It has nothing to do with expectations.
But I just think simply, I don't think we should be jumping down this guy's throat, because I think you can say,
I don't jump
and make
down
an
his
argument
throat.
For Favre was more valuable to his team.
I have no problem with
Brady.
That.
And you can make
if
that
if he had
argument.
Made that argument for me, I would say fine. But he's talking about expectations.
Right.
Green Bay is supposed to win five games.
I'll
says
be honest.
Who?
I think
right.
he
says
thought
you?
Up this defense right. after he voted, realizing, holy crap, I was the only one who didn't vote for Brady. I don't think
I
he
think
expected
you might be
in any way. You know, this kind of caught him off guard, and he came up with a defense. I have no problem with it. The bigger one I have a problem with is your defensive player of the year, Bob Sanders, and in comparison to head coach Bill Belichick's coach of the year. I find it laughable that Bob Sanders was a more had a more of a majority of the vote, 31, for defensive player of the year than Bill Belichick did, 29, for coach of the year. That's I think that's laughable because as of the final week of the season, there were plenty of national football people, guys who vote for these types of awards, who had no idea who they were going to vote for defensive player of the year. That's a joke.
Yeah, but
you
don't
two
think,
more votes.
But you don't think Belichick lost two votes even
I don't
for Spygate?
It's a joke. That's stupid.
Well, see, again,
it's an embarrassment to the voting
process. I
might
surprise some people, but I'm not that surprised, and I'm not
embarrassment.
Well,
I don't think that Frank Cooney is wrong because he voted for Brett Favre. I think his reasons for voting for Brett Favre are flawed. That's all.
I think the reasons for not voting for Bill Belichick are flawed.
Well, I agree.
It's coach
I agree.
Of the year.
But don't you think that there
Mike Vrabel got two votes?
Yeah,
finishing,
which is another thing I wanted
way
to talk
down
to
the
him
line.
About. Fourth, tied for fourth.
Yeah, but way down the line.
Well, no
I mean,
one else
two
got
guys
any votes.
With four votes.
Right. No one else got any votes.
He was fourth, but even fourth in a group that aren't even in consideration.
Yeah.
So.
Sanders was the only one that was even.
Right.
You know,
I find that I am shocked. I think it should have been a lot closer. I think you can make arguments for a lot of guys
think,
more than you can make arguments for the other awards.
Haynesworth got four, I think.
And Kearney.
And Kearney got four. And DeMarcus Ware got two. And Vrabel got two. And then there was like Patrick Willis. Someone else got one each.
Well,
like three other guys got one.
Yeah,
each.
There was a bunch of guys there. I just
Mario Williams got one.
Right. Yeah, there was a couple.
Last
others,
year's top overall pick.
All right. Well, on the phone,
Patrick
right
Willis, Mario Williams, and some others.
Patrick Willis got one. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
On the phone right now is Anthony from Naples. Anthony, how you doing? Anthony. Is he still there?
He hung up. You made him hold too long.
Wow. Well, I mean, we do have a right to finish what we're talking about, right? Isn't that how talk radio works?
I don't question Anthony.
I always hear
he's the best.
I always hear these guys on talk radio say, I've been holding on for 40 minutes. We never make people do that, right?
You've pushed that limit a couple times.
Well, a couple times I've forgotten.
And then you also forget that they're still on.
I don't do
once
it on
they
purpose.
Get on.
Anyway. All right, so but back to this whole voting thing. There's another set of awards coming out, which are not the AP awards. They're the NFL Motorola and all that.
Yeah, but those are all fans voted, aren't they?
They're fans voting, and that's what I'm bringing up. I want to see the difference of those, if there is any, you know. So
people should vote.
People send them should to, vote.
Can they link from Patriots.com?
Because yes, of course.
Obviously, there
Chris
are
Chris Ferreira, IT webmaster, puts that stuff up so you can get direct links right to it. All you got to do is scroll down on the homepage, and you'll see all the stuff right there.
When not bartering for oil.
Well, let's not get into that. All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email. What other news do you have?
More news. Reports out of the Boston Globe, Patriots finalized their cap maneuverings over the month of December. Kyle Eckel was the good soldier this year, playing the role of Brandon Gorn and guys of the past. He got a one-year extension on his deal that includes a one of those bonuses, and they'll basically get a $5.6 million credit on the cap next year.
Because of Kyle Eckel?
Yeah, they make a bonus that he can't receive.
Oh.
And then, you know what I mean? They've
right
done it with Gorin.
Unlikely to be earned.
Right.
Yeah.
Actually, I think it's likely to be earned that he doesn't earn, therefore you get a credit next year. As of the end of the year, they were at $536 of empty space on the cap, so they couldn't even sign Paul Perillo to a deal.
I don't know. I didn't read that story, but they do only have six guys in the practice squad.
They couldn't sign a guy because that would be $4,000 for a week.
You couldn't sign a guy.
But, you know, the story was sort of about how, you know, projecting as of right now, the Patriots are like $5 million under the projected cap for next year of $116, which is puts them sort of at the bottom of the cap space list of NFL teams. But it's not really accurate because Brady's cap number is like $14.8
million.
That'll change. They'll extend him, fix that. Roosevelt Colvin, I think, is second at $7.4 million. That's going to change. So there's ways to, you know, as Paul mentioned in the locker room, the Colts are always up against the cap until Manning does one thing and they're no longer even near the cap. So we all know that they can maneuver these. And the projections are a little off, too, because as we've seen in the past, when they win the Super Bowl, some guys have bonuses that kick in, so that'll change that cap picture. So the picture right now, trying to project towards April, March, April, is a little fuzzy. But, you know, they always do it the right way, which is use all the space you possibly can.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I always just say, but why the 536? Why don't you add the $536 to Kyle Echols' likely to be earned bonus that is going to give you a credit next year? Wouldn't you want it at $0 or $1?
Well, even, you know, because
it's like Jeopardy, you end with $1.
It's not even like you say 536. Well, at least you have that little wiggle room just in case some disaster happens. But that,
for what?
That doesn't give you wiggle room.
That's like me walking into Tiffany's with $5.
We
it doesn't
sign
allow
anybody.
Me to do anything.
We're saving that $536 for the bonus for Chris Ferreira.
How about for PFW?
For PFW, $536 bonus?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll split that up.
Yeah, that'll go
take
a long way.
Sure.
I'll take it. It's more than zero.
All right, Web radio at Patriots.com. Now, how was Belichick's press conference today? Locker room, all that stuff. No?
Well, they did have, and our fans, I'm not sure if they're aware of this, and they can look out for it later on, but Richard Seymour and I think Teddy Bruschi went to the podium. So I'm sure that will have audio at the very least, but probably audio and video of that on Patriots.com.
If Chris Ferreira does it.
Well, he is the best webmaster in the league.
That's true.
So I assume that we have that up there. Well, we will have it up there if it's not already.
Yeah.
Not a whole lot, Freddie, in Belichick's presser today. Kind of low-key. A lot of talk about the Jags running game at the start of the press conference and Taylor and Jones-Drew. A lot of talk made of the fact that the Jags have no Pro Bowlers, which, by the way, is now incorrect because Fred Taylor is indeed going in place of Willie Parker. but... You know, Bill made, I thought, an interesting point when he said, you know, we've been down that road before, and we found a way to win a few games, I think is the way you put it. You know, referring to some of the teams, I think 03 and 04 in particular, that, you know, only had, what, three or four Pro Bowlers in those years. They went 14-2, and yet they were able to win the Super Bowl and didn't really matter about. And he said, I'm not talking about the players, I'm talking about the team, because he really was over the top in talking about how good they are. And he said, I'm not talking about players, I'm talking about the team.
He also almost backed himself into a corner because he started to try to list Pro Bowlers and realized there's not a lot of Pro Bowlers on that roster. Fred Taylor is one. No. Rasheen Mathis is one. Then you start to, we all say Henderson, Stroud.
I was
going to
say,
Stroud's
maybe you could
hurt.
Say either one of those
Henderson
guys.
Is hurt now, too, but there's good defensive linemen that are going to the Pro Bowl as well, you know, from this team with Vince Wilfork at tackle. It's a team like the Patriots in the past that is good. They win games,
right.
But individual talent? Receivers? No. Offensive line? I have no idea. Quarterback? No. Tight end? No. Defense? Linebackers? No. Probably not. Secondary? Mathis.
Mathis and, you know, I don't know how
all
good.
Those other guys
Brian
are good.
Williams is a guy that I hear is good, but he played most of his career in the NFC,
right.
So you don't get to see him a lot.
Reggie Nelson, a rookie. He's not going to the Pro Bowl. He's had a very good year. He's had a lot of numbers. I was telling Paul, 80 tackles, a sack, five picks. But he's not going as a rookie safety. So they don't deserve a lot of Pro Bowlers. They're a good team. Be happy that you're a good team.
So it is kind of similar. And I remember when we had these shows a few years ago, Fred, and we talked about, you know, well, who on the Patriots got screwed out of going to the Pro Bowl? And you were hard-pressed to find anybody.
Yeah.
You know, you really couldn't come up with anybody. So, you know, I think that Bill was talking, and I thought he made that was a good point that he made. He goes, look, I'm talking about the team here, not the I'm not talking about the players. Talking about the team. They do everything well.
And there's some similarities between these Jaguars and Patriots teams.
And a lot of people in the locker room were asking the players questions on that in that vein. You know, are they kind of like you guys in that they just kind of bring their lunch pail to work and they're not really the glamour team the way that you guys have been in the past? And
for Paul Spicer.
There are similarities, but the biggest difference is those successful Patriots teams of the past that didn't have a lot of superstars did have Belichick and Brady.
And this team has Del Rio, which is never going to be confused for Belichick. And Garrard, who's in his first postseason as a starter, and made some mistakes that were uncharacteristic of his regular season.
That's true, Freddie. That's the ultimate difference maker.
All right, on the phone right now is Lucky. Lucky, how you doing?
I'm all right, and yourself?
Good. How you been? You have a happy new year?
I didn't do much. I stayed home.
Oh, that's good.
Just relax.
That's a safe thing. It's just for amateurs anyway.
Yeah. Hey, Fred, you know that DVD you were talking about, right?
Yeah.
Hey, can you put that on Patriots.com or no?
I don't think so because it's not something we shot and it's, you know, Ion bought the rights, so I'm not sure we can, but I'll check into it.
That'd be cool, because I can't find it anywhere. I tried to YouTube it or something, but I couldn't get that, and I didn't know it was playing on Ion or whatever.
We'll have the leg make some copies, and we'll send you one out.
Hey, that'd be cool.
All right.
So how's everything else going? Y'all ready for the game?
I've been ready.
Fred's giddy. Fred is ready to go.
Fred was all geared up. Yesterday, we all got in a little earlier than normal because we wanted to finish the paper, and Fred was just bouncing off the walls.
I'm ready.
Tom didn't get a story done, huh? Because wasn't he waiting for, the comeback player of the year or something like that?
Yeah, that never played out.
Look for a story on that this week.
If they ever give that award out.
Yeah, I don't understand why they don't just do the whole thing at once. Why they got to spread it out. One each day. It makes no sense.
I just think they try to maximize the buzz about the awards and
stuff. They want a story every day in the USA Today about this player, that player, that coach.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. I wanted to go to, or at least attempt to go to the game, but some tickets were going at 10 o'clock and 29 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe it. Well, they go fast.
Obviously, you were lazy. You couldn't get it done. 29 seconds, plenty of time.
I logged in. I was waiting. I was there. I was in front of the computer. I was neglected work.
Why don't you just get a jet and fly over the stadium and keep circling?
For what?
To watch the game.
Okay. You want to pay for it?
No. Well, I'm sure I would on some level. My tax dollars pay for everything.
I mean, shoot, you know, I got the house and all that other stuff. You got the buku cash over there.
I know.
Not exactly.
The buku cash. He's a land baron. Fred calls him a land baron.
You should donate to the Lucky Fund.
Yeah. We'll see about that down the road.
I'll bet you there's oil on your property.
I wish there were.
Texas.
No, what I want is that guy in Western Mass who found all the granite or whatever that made his place worth $30 billion or something ridiculous.
$3
billion. $3
billion. He's a baseball player.
Yeah.
So how do you see the game turning out?
Jags get blowed out.
Blowed out. 41-10.
38-9.
Go with another blowout, because all these close games now is not really working for me. I mean, I know it's competitive and makes it fun for everybody else, but I want to see frowns on other people's faces, just a blowout from start to finish.
Well, I think there's a good chance you'll see it, and I don't think it's just the matchup. I think the rest and the Patriots, I expect the Patriots to come out slinging it all over the field, excited, hits on defense, aggressive, everything. I think there's going to be a lot of energy in the stadium. And I think you'll see that play out into a big deficit for the Jags.
And the weather's projected to be good, isn't it?
Supposed to be decent, mid-30s. I guess there's a chance of rain, I heard somebody say.
Yeah. I thought it was like 10% or something.
Yeah, I heard...
I'm saying there's a chance.
I heard as much as 30% chance of rain, highs in the 30s, upper 30s.
Yeah, so it'll be decent.
They can deal with the rain as long as it's not windy.
Exactly.
That's true, which it always is at Gillette Stadium, seems like.
All right, Lucky. All right. Thanks for the call.
Rest of your day.
Thanks,
Hang
Lucky.
In luck. That's Lucky out in Springfield, Chicopee, Mass.
Area. Those planes.
Freddie, I saw when you pointed to the TV. That was one other aspect I thought that was somewhat interesting of the press conference was...
Actually, Paul thought it was very interesting.
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't know about it until the question was asked. Never mind. he was asked about Joe Gibbs retiring. And, you know, he answered it talking about...
really
the one back offense, and that was something that obviously Gibbs really kind of revolutionized. He didn't invent it, as Bill said, but he did kind of make it
popularized.
Popular, you know. But I thought the one comment that he made at the end, Andy, he called him a true Hall of Famer. Joe Gibbs is a true Hall of Famer. I thought that was interesting.
Who I squashed like a bitch,
52-7.
Well, then the follow-up
he
question.
He didn't say that for that
which,
one guy who takes everything.
Never get answered.
What did you want us to do? Kick a field goal?
No. The follow-up question to Belichick then is, who in his opinion are not the true Hall of Famers? And so I'll bet you there's some people in there that he doesn't believe should be. If he's calling one a true Hall of Famer.
Yeah, you might be right.
Could be.
I don't know.
I don't know who's in there.
All right.
My guess is Vince Lombardi.
The question is,
I bet he's in.
Knowing Snyder, though,
you think
does
Bill
he go,
thinks he's a fraud?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Why?
I think that Bill thinks the guys that fraud's too strong of a word.
I wouldn't put him in Canton.
But I think the guys that Bill has respect for are the guys that innovate, and they don't necessarily. Vince Lombardi was known for taking a system and just running that system, executing you to death. You know, he killed you with the power sweep. You know, there was like a systematic simplicity to what he did, and you couldn't stop it. But It wasn't, you know, I know what we're going to do. We're going to take this guy out and put this guy in because that's going to give us a key matchup edge over this guy like Paul Brown. And I think that to an extent that's what he's talking about with Don Coryell and Joe Gibbs with this one back offense. People hadn't done that before they started doing it. You know, Paul Brown was innovative in a million different ways. Vince Lombardi ran what he ran better than everybody else.
Right.
You know, and true greatness, I'm not saying that it's not. I don't think he was overrated or anything like that. But I think that Bill has more respect for the innovator than he does with the guy that just beat you over the head with execution. You don't agree?
I have no idea.
I think, and I also think that, you know, if Belichick is such a Paul Brown follower, I'll bet you know, Paul Brown and Vince Lombardi were very competitive, and I'll bet you Paul Brown probably had some negative things to say about Vince Lombardi that Belichick sides with. I don't know.
Could be.
You know?
I would just, well, what has Bill done that's innovative?
Oh, come on.
Oh, wait, I'm not necessarily talking about that, but
I know it's heresy to, but I mean, he runs a 3-4.
But he's outside.
I mean, he makes game plan adjustments.
Well, that's
but,
the thing. I mean, no one that, you know,
I think what Bill does
adapts as well as Belichick.
I think Bill takes stuff from so many different places.
Absolutely.
Better than other people do.
I agree.
If you guys ever watch that show Heroes on TV, it's, you know, they have all these superpower people, but there's one guy that absorbs all the powers of all the other superpower people, and he has all the superpower. And that's what Belichick does. He's absorbed the best of the best.
But then he's just a really good Vince Lombardi.
But part of creativity is copying.
But I don't think,
you know,
that he
it's
just
knowing
takes,
what
like,
to steal.
See, and I also think that he doesn't just sit there and say, well, we do A, B, and C, and that's what we're going to do.
Right.
I think he changes, you know, from game to game, week to week, sometimes quarter to quarter.
Using your, like, descriptions and criteria, sort of, then I think Bill is just a modernized Vince Lombardi.
But what I'm trying to say with
more
Vince Lombardi.
More so than Paul Brown, an innovator.
If Vince Lombardi played the Patriots, okay, and the Patriots' reputation is we're going to take away the one thing that you do well, we're usually going to contain that. So let's just say that the 60s Packers are playing the 2004 Patriots. And Paul Hornung and Jim Taylor can't get anything going on the ground because that's what the Patriots do. They take that one thing that you do away. Packers, game, set, match. Game is over. Now, if it's the other way around and the 60s Packers are playing the 2007 Patriots and they spread the field, they throw the ball, and Brady's got 50 touchdowns or whatever, and they take away somehow Randy Moss and Brady, I think that Belichick works to find a different way to beat you.
But don't you think that's just the game, how the game has evolved?
To a large extent, but
Bill
think there's a lot of guys that...
Giants defenses. We ran out 3-4 cover 2 and we did it.
I think you're seeing that on defense now.
Because he had good enough personnel to do that.
Don't you think you're seeing...
But didn't Vince Lombardi win a lot of games?
Oh, Vince Lombardi's great. Because
he had good enough personnel.
You're misunderstanding. You're painting me into a corner where I'm saying Vince Lombardi sucked. Vince Lombardi was...
Well, you're saying
there's
Bill
a reason.
Thinks Vince Lombardi
there's, No, I'm not. There's a reason the trophy's named after him. I mean, he's like 10-1 in all-time post. I mean, this is true greatness in a coach. But I just think
Wouldn't
it's
he
a
be
different...
a bad coach if he...
It's
you
a
know,
different style.
That power sweep is working. But
no,
you know
no
what we're going to do? We're going to sling it.
But no one could do that. No one could beat him. He was too...
That's what
they
I mean.
Were too good.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Right. So I'm not saying that he was overrated. And I don't think that Bill thinks he was overrated. I just think it was a different style than Bill. And I think Bill tends to gravitate more toward
somewhere.
A guy.
Barolo, Belichick hates Lombardi.
No, I know, and you'll do it, and you'll probably post it. But, Paul Brown didn't win in the NFL the way Vince Lombardi did.
Right.
Paul Brown won those four AAFC titles, and then they won, you know, when they came to the NFL, they continued to win, but not like Vince Lombardi did.
Right.
But I think that Belichick would have a lot more respect, not... You know, one guy's great, one guy stinks, but a lot more respect for what Paul Brown did because of all the things that he did that no one else had ever done before. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe, if he was sitting right here and he heard me say that, he would say, what are you kidding me? You know, Vince Lombardi is the greatest of all time. He might laugh at me. That's just the vibe I get. That's all.
He rarely mentions Lombardi.
Are you kidding me?
Whereas he often mentions Paul Brown.
And Clark Shaughnessy, and he's got a few others. When I did that whole coaching tree thing, and I don't think he mentioned Lombardi much.
Okay, webradio and pitchers.com.
Guys, you know, that were pretty good. You know, it's not like he didn't. I just think it was different philosophy.
Oh, Anthony's back on the phone. Anthony, how you doing?
Oh.
Hey, how you doing? Paul?
Yeah, Fred, Paul, and Andy. How are you?
Ah, Fred, Paul, and Andy. Good to see you guys. Well, not see you, but hear you guys. How you guys doing?
We're good. What's up?
What, you hang up on us the first time?
I had another incoming call. It was a pretty important call I had to take from one of my customers. Sorry about that, guys. I knew you would move on.
We did. Quickly.
Yeah. Actually, there was dead air for the last 10 minutes.
Fred ripped you. Fred ripped you for hanging up, but I didn't. Anthony, you're the best in my book.
He's got some balls because he took most of the booze.
I agree. That's exactly what I was thinking. He does have some balls.
I don't know if I have to remind you, I'm the boss. I take what I want.
You know, I got that stuff for Gary over there, and you took the beer from Paul. You took the tequila from Gary. Is there anything else?
Whatever you send, I'll take.
All right, I'll let that know. I guess I got to send extra.
That's a win. We need that swagger back from Fred, though. I like that.
What's that?
We need that swagger back from Fred. It was missing for a while. We need that back.
Good. Yeah, he's a little bit of life of the party. But what did you guys think about that Pittsburgh game?
Well, we've talked about it a little bit. I was a little disappointed in the Jaguars because I thought they're a bit of a bully team, and when they got up, I thought they would go for the knockout and be able to stop the Steelers, and not doing so made me think a little bit less of the Jaguars.
Yeah, you know, last week, I told you guys, I thought the Jaguars were going to win, and only because I thought Pittsburgh wasn't up to par, as in, like, you know, they weren't fully healthy.
Right.
I think it would have been a different story, you know, if they had a great, like, a healthy offensive line, if they had Willie Parker back there. I know that team's not going to make any excuses, you know, and they shouldn't. But, you know, if they were healthy, I thought they had a chance to beat Jacksonville.
Yeah, you know, I heard Boomer Esiason on Sunday on the pregame show for the Titans-Chargers game, and I couldn't agree with him more. And he said, you know, this morning when Pittsburgh woke up, they were sick to their stomach because they absolutely kicked the game away last night. And I couldn't agree with them more because, you know, with all of those things that Andy just talked about that happened in the second quarter that got Jacksonville the lead, the Steelers overcame all that. They were the better team. They overcame it, and they came back. They had the lead down the stretch, and the Jacksonville Jaguars did nothing on their own. Pittsburgh gave them the game. All I can think is Jim Mora. We gave them the game, and that's exactly what they did. It's third down and six, and you need a first down. They haven't stopped you since the second quarter. On one, not really even a play, they haven't stopped you. Roethlisberger was carving him up, and Mike Tomlin calls an intentional quarterback keeper around the left end. What is this, high school football? You're just going to have the quarterback take a snap and run around the end, and you're going to expect to get 6 yards? That was one of the worst calls I've ever seen in any game, any year. That was an offensive call to me.
I stopped
rooting for Pittsburgh at that very moment.
I had no idea what they were doing. It was almost like, you know, somebody else made the call and they got screwed up. And why would you do that?
Yeah, I wouldn't give up on Tomlin, though. I think he's a great coach. You know, hey, he made a mistake. He's going to learn by it.
No, it was his first postseason game. I'm just saying that call itself was the worst call I've ever seen.
I could see rolling him out and, you know, looking down the field or something, but that was an, you know, that.
Right.
What had Jacksonville done in the second half to lead you to believe that we can't chance throwing the ball here? Every pass they threw, there was a guy either wide open or being interfered with.
Yeah.
In the second half. They spread him out the way we talked about last week. They spread Jacksonville out and they picked him apart in the second half. And even despite being down by 18 points, Pittsburgh still came back and took the lead. That tells me that Pittsburgh was a better team, and if not for a 10-minute hiccup by Ben Roethlisberger, they win that game going away.
Yeah, and we shouldn't take anything away from Ben. You know what I mean? I think he's a great quarterback.
He played a great game. He just had a terrible, terrible 10 minutes.
Right. He was the first guy to admit it. And he said it post-game. He was embarrassed by his performance, and he said he dug a hole that they couldn't get out of.
And ultimately, that's why they lost. I mean, Jacksonville did nothing on offense.
No.
In the game. They got a 96-yard kick return that set up a touchdown.
Touchdown,
they got an
interception
return on defense, and they got the ball at the end of the game at midfield, and they got a quarterback draw on fourth down for 32 yards. Those are the three plays that they made offensively all day. That was it.
Yeah.
They ran the ball for about 60 yards, if you take out Garrard's quarterback runs.
Right.
They couldn't do anything.
Was it me, or like, was it just horrible sitting through that Chargers game?
That was
a bad game.
That was painful to watch in the first half, especially.
Well, that was our general observation on the whole weekend. Is
bad football.
There's bad football. It's first round of the playoffs, and there were a lot of bad football games being played.
You know, but here's my question too: is that this is really another one? Is that do you think, I don't know which comes first. Do you think it was just because San Diego was just, you know, just the play calling was horrible, they just weren't executing on offense, or I also want to give a little bit of credit to that Tennessee defense.
I think they're very good.
Who to give credit more?
Well, I think you have to credit the Tennessee defense. They are a very good defense. They make life difficult on an offense. I think they make life difficult on a good offense. And I think that San Diego offense right now has good talent, but is not a good offense. And you know, I think there's a difference there, and I don't think they're a team that's clicking. I said it all along. I think they just – Tomlinson called them together. They decided we're just going to win games regardless of everything else that's going on. But when you get in the postseason, you got to have a little more than that.
It's hard to do it that way. But I agree with Andy. I think Tennessee's defense is excellent. And they might be
that
a player.
Offense is horrific.
Yeah, they might be a player or two away from really being a shutdown defense, no matter what you do. But the reason I say that, I think they're very good, and I don't care about San Diego's offense. I do think the play calling was bad. They insisted on running on first down and doing all those things. But San Diego plays a lot of games against teams that know they're going to run the ball on first down, and they don't stop them like that.
Right.
I mean, he had something like 15 carries for 15 yards at one point. I mean, it wasn't just, you know, they stopped him well early. He had a couple of four-yard runs, and that was about it.
Right.
I mean, he could do nothing. And let's face it, he's not overrated. This is LaDainian Tomlinson. He's the best there is. They shut him down, and then they got, you know, the thing that killed him was about four to five times they just completely, I mean, as badly as you could, blew coverages and left guys wide open for big plays. I mean, Rivers must have had six or seven completions of 30 yards or more in that game.
Mm-hmm.
It was all like on a couple of different plays. You know, it's funny because I said, you know, I think San Diego will cover because I said all they really need to do is get to 17 and that should be enough to cover. And ultimately that's what they did. But that's not how I expected it to happen at all.
Just ugly.
Just a bad game.
What was it, 6-0 at the half?
Yeah.
Ugh. Just
all
ugly.
Right, guys, before I let you go, I'm going to give you two of my predictions. I think San Diego is going to get their doors blown out in Indianapolis because Peyton's not going to throw six interceptions.
Agreed.
I agree.
Give him the game.
I agree.
I think it's going to be like by 20 or more. And, you know, Jacksonville, I say the same thing with Jacksonville. They're going to get crushed.
I agree. I think you're going to see two blowouts in the AFC.
Anthony, we're exactly. Right on board with you.
All right.
Have a good one, guys. Take care.
Anthony in Naples.
It's
and
funny.
After those blowouts, start the hype for the Super Bowl that isn't the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'm going to do it again. I'm going to, because I have the preview again. I previewed the last Colts game. It was all boxing. I'm doing it again. I mean, this is what it is. These are the two best teams. And I'd be very disappointed if San Diego sprung an upset, to be honest with you. These are the two best teams. I'm looking forward to that game.
He didn't say he'd be disappointed if Jacksonville sprung an upset.
Oh, there's no chance of that. There's no chance. No
anything
chance.
But Patriots, Paul Perillo.
Fred, please, help me out here.
Well, yeah, I don't know if I can.
Okay.
Okay.
I think I kind of lost my train of thought.
Sorry,
but on the Colts, I just think Fred might have been overstating it with it'll be more watched with the AFC Championship, but this is the game of the year. Can you imagine if the game that they played in November was the AFC Championship, just like last year's AFC Championship?
Yeah.
I mean, that's all we can hope for is we get another great game like that.
Absolutely.
Those are the two best teams.
That'll really continue to lift this rivalry, this era here, Patriots-Colts.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? I was thinking that, too.
Greatest ever.
Because you look at some of the great teams, the great dynasties.
That's
we should start doing that.
Bill
Fred.
Polian. I'm going to pronounce his name like that because
you should introduce yourself in the press box. Fred Kirsch. Yeah.
Bill Polian.
Mr. Polian, how are you?
Yeah.
That would be funny.
That would be funny. We start reading about Fred on the national clips.
And then when he grabs you around the throat and headbutts
you. Bill Polian had to rough up a Patriots official.
Should I have
welcome
Gary
that.
Up there with a mini disc player?
Yes.
If he ever laid a hand on me, it'd be the last hand he ever did on anyone because I would kill
last
him.
Last hand he ever did on anyone.
But you know what I was thinking is, like, the great teams always had foils. They had Pittsburgh, you know, they had great teams in Oakland in the 70s, great teams in Miami that they always had to get by. And then later in the 70s, they had Houston in their own division. The Patriots have nobody in their division. You know, I don't care how great the rivalry is with the Jets. The Jets haven't been good enough. So they have no one there. There's no divisional rival. It's the Colts.
No question.
It was Pittsburgh for a while, and now it's the Colts.
It could have been Denver, but they can't.
They're not good enough.
Right.
And, you know, there's no, like, real identify. Like, to me, I think of, Pittsburgh and Dallas always played in the 70s in the Super Bowl. There's no real identify. Well, the Patriots are playing. Oh, remember those big games, the Patriots? You know, I remember some big ones against the Colts. I remember some big ones against the Steelers, but.
Yeah.
This I think you're right. This could solidify the Colts as the preeminent team trying to knock the Patriots off the throne.
And it goes one of two ways. The Colts win.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
Now they got back-to-back Super Bowls, and which is the team of the era sort of thing.
Then it could turn in a hurry, yeah.
Patriots really finalize themselves as the dynasty of the era, and the Colts are sort of that. They were really good, but they were number two.
Right. They had that one moment, that brief moment,
right.
Where the Patriots came back with a vengeance and went undefeated.
But if the Colts pulled the upset,
all
of a sudden, the way we're talking about this completely changes.
They got back to back.
Sure.
Be interesting. Lot riding on that game.
Unlike Jacksonville, Fred, I do think the Colts would have a shot. I think that I think that's going to be a good game.
They got a pretty good defense, you know. Paul,
you're a guy, Bob Sanders,
and Dungy had quotes along those lines talking about how he was glad Bob Sanders won it, not just for Bob Sanders, but for his team. Everybody thinks of them still as the pass-first, offense-first Colts. And
I don't.
Forgets that they play defense, and he thinks this will go a long way into people actually thinking, you know, the Colts have a defense, and you're the first person I thought of because you think they have the 85 Bears defense on that team.
It's a different style, but it's very effective.
It is.
Paul,
do you think it's the best defense in the league?
Yes.
You see the number?
You know, I haven't watched enough of Green Bay, though. Green Bay's got a pretty good
Yeah, and I'm not too. Arguing with you. The reason I asked you was because they did lead the league in points allowed.
Yeah.
And I just don't look at them as a top five defense.
The thing I found remarkable is they lowered their, this was in the Bob Sanders story, they lowered their average per play allowed from 5.8, I believe, last year. To 3.6.
Wow,
that's significant.
Like 2+.
Well, that shows
yards.
You how bad they were on defense last year, too, though.
Right, and then all of a sudden, they're going to the postseason, and all of a sudden the 85 Bears guy. I still don't.
Bob Sanders.
Get it.
Bob Sanders. I know that. See,
I still
see, you know
don't
why?
Buy
because
it.
Intelligent people that watch the game, like you know, pseudo intellects like yourself, they look at
I don't
it
know
and they say,
"About no pseudo.
How can a 5'8 safety be this important?" And it just doesn't make any sense. When you watch, you say, there's no way one guy, no matter what position, could make this much difference, let alone a 5'8 safety. But he does.
He does. He's just has a knack
for being
around the
ball. Their defense changes when he's not in the game.
Yeah.
See, no one had any problem with saying Albert Haynesworth changed the whole complexion of the Tennessee defense.
No, he's big,
which
he's
also
fat,
was,
he's up front, he's a powerful guy.
Which
he starts
also,
with the run, run defense, all that.
And that was also accurate.
Because
they were
that
totally
fits
different
all the,
team.
Like the prototypical stereotypes about defense and football and everything.
Right. That's what I'm saying, pseudo-intellects like yourself.
He's got this little fast guy running around the secondary, throwing his body around. All of a sudden, he's the best defensive player in football. One more thing. Even though Tom's not here, he can even chime in on this topic. We watched, I don't know if you watched any of the national title game last night.
I didn't. I had the Bates DVR and I watched that all night.
Okay, good for you. But James Laurinaitis, Ohio State, Paul and I both watched the game. At least I watched a half with an eye on Laurinaitis.
I watched a half and I watched
Tom
him.
Tom watched Laurinaitis and because he has wireless and his laptop sitting there, sent us an email. We were all thoroughly unimpressed with James Laurinaitis.
Oh.
I think to some degree, it's you go in thinking, is this guy a top seven pick? Is he that great? But around the ball a lot, but not making plays. You see him, but he gets engulfed by a guard here. A tight end blows by him for a touchdown there. Just not impressive.
Okay.
Well. I just saw one of the funnier bottom line scrolls on ESPN. Women's soccer, Christine Lilly to miss Olympics, parentheses, pregnancy.
Oh, boy.
The trouble with women's sports. That and Hillary Clinton. I heard her whining and crying yesterday. No vote from Andy.
Wow.
Can't cry? There's no crying in politics.
What's she crying about?
You can only cry at your wedding. Cue it.
All right. Webradio at patriots.com. Let's get
Fred, you know what taint is?
I do.
Andy.
What?
Everybody knows what that is.
Why
you
am I the last
one.
Person in the world to find
you
out?
You were the only one that didn't know what it was.
I thought it was a word, like taint.
Well, it is a word, hijacked, and it now refers to something.
So everybody knew this. This is, like, common.
Well, if Fred knew, don't you think
if you listen to Howard Stern like I do, you certainly know.
Every emailer that sends in, let us know if you have heard of taint,
and then get
to the rest of your email. I just want to know who knew what taint was.
They're unbelievable.
Go back to couch skiing.
and he knew that one.
I thought it was pickup truck skiing, but.
Paul from North Carolina said he just heard Friday's podcast. In regards to McDaniel's statement, I do not agree with your assessment that Josh will not interview for any head coach position this year. The statement clearly states he is not pursuing at this time because he plans to focus all my attention on our postseason preparation. That basically leaves open any head coaching job interview after the Patriots win the Super Bowl and go 19-0.
There may not be any left by then.
Yeah. So I,
well, that's number one. There may not
coaches
be any left.
I mean,
number
and
two.
The jobs are already – I mean, Sperano is the head coach in Miami. That's just going to be announced once they're out.
Yeah. I'm going to be very surprised if Josh McDaniels interviews for a job this
offseason. What about Washington? The newest opening.
I'm just
saying. That wasn't an opening when he
well,
made the statement.
Well, you think Snyder will probably go after Cowher for that, you think?
Well, Cowher, I thought, already said he wasn't coming back.
Well, that's what they say. So that raises – in order to get me back, you're going to have to – pay me through
I just
notes.
Don't. I mean, how do you guys feel about it? I don't think the email is not wrong. He said at this time, and that's open ended. And we talked about that. Although the last time I openly speculated on one of the statements that a Patriots official made, that was kind of open ended like that, I got blistered the next day.
Well,
so I'm going to steer clear.
Here's my prediction: if the season's over, Patriots are done playing, and there's still openings, and he gets asked to interview, he will interview. That's my prediction.
So that kind of have to lose, get upset for that in all likelihood.
Yeah, I mean, I just can't see teams being still waiting after the Super Bowl.
But if they still
I think they're dumb for not doing it. We've talked about this. To me, if you got to make a new if you have to make a decision and you need a new guy and you identify someone that you think is the right guy, waiting another 3 weeks to me is
especially if you're hiring a head coach. If you're hiring a coach/GM, a run the whole show, I can see you really want to get it going. The combine's in February. If you wait till February 7th to hire a guy, that gives him two weeks before it's the – all that stuff. But
that makes it
McDaniels
harder.
Is not going to be a total control guy. He's going to be a head coach somewhere.
That makes it harder. But even then, to me, I sacrifice the 3 weeks and you know, maybe I'm not quite as prepared for my first draft with my new guy. If I think that the guy is the guy, you know – I'm going to laugh about this 3 years from now when I'm a playoff team and one of the better teams in football. Remember how we were worried about that 3 weeks that we were going to lose? You know?
Plus, you can do what teams have done where you keep on the guy that's organizing everything, running
those
everything.
Contracts usually run through April. They usually run through the draft.
Right. But, I mean, a guy is not incapable to the point where he doesn't know what he – you know, it's a total joke. You can go with the guy, whoever's making the decisions now, to the combine. He's organized everything. You have a system in place. And his information, you know, he's not making the decisions. You can use his information to some degree. I mean, that's what they did here, right? Bobby Greer was let go after the draft, right?
Absolutely.
So it's been done in the past, and you can do that. But I can see as an owner wanting to get going faster.
Yeah, no, that's how they feel. That's how they do it. That's why I don't think there's any chance that he's going to interview for a job this year.
I don't either. And the one obvious out, as I said, is Washington because it wasn't an available job when he made the statement.
Right.
But who knows?
All right, Charlie in Ithaca says, the show is great, but I have two comments. First, to get on a bigger radio gig like Sirius or syndication, you probably shouldn't badmouth the products that run ads during your broadcast, such as Gridiron Grillers. My other comment is actually about last Wednesday's show. I was behind in the podcast in which the phrase Peter in Elisabetta in Venice was said several times. That was not what was written, but mangled email reading is not my concern here. My concern is that nothing was made of the phrase Peter in Elisabetta. Andy, I expect more.
That's true. I got as soon as you read it today,
it is
that's
this
what
kind
I was
of
thinking.
Humor along with a little bit of football that has made you guys as popular as you are. With more attention to detail like this, you will surely explode onto the national scene in the future.
You know what's funny is he says we shouldn't make fun of you can't make fun of your advertisers.
Right.
But it's even worse for us because the advertiser is our boss,
us.
The company.
It's alignment, size, hunger, and want the awesome
they're Patriots, Gridiron Grillers. It's not just
in our defense, I will say if we did have a bigger and better gig, that wouldn't be one of our advertisers because we could pick and choose.
Well, when it is a hot dog and came out as orange fire water.
Those are actually available. My local little variety store down the road, they're available there.
Oh, yeah.
They have
in
a little
supermarkets.
But it's just it's a corner store. They have a little teeny cooler with a little meat and stuff, and I was surprised that Gridiron Grillers was one of the
Gary's got
Patriots
that quizzical look on his face.
Patriots are hot right now.
Oh, by the
way. Are they really, Fred?
Yeah.
16-0? They're hot?
That. Yeah.
I also saw a license plate with not a hyphen but a dot in the middle.
Really? Patriots
plate?
So could
you get 16.0?
Patriots plate?
No, just a Massachusetts.
The problem is the vanity.
You cannot customize these vanity plates. That's the problem.
You almost said customized plates, huh?
Right. You can't. You couldn't put your name on a Patriot plate like you can on a regular Mass plate.
Oh, because then it would be a vanity plate and a special plate.
It's
or whatever.
Too bad.
Which I don't really understand.
But now, is there a law against the guy who buys 160 just like getting some nail polish and putting a little?
Probably.
I think so. Yeah. You know, changing the 0 to an 8 or you can't do that.
a 0 to an 8,
well, you know,
then they'd be 16 and 8, and it would be the worst license plate in the world.
Any changing of what it is not allowed.
Hey, I say go for it. Put the little dash in. What cop's going to give you?
It's perfect crime. Who knew?
And if the guy pulls you over, you tell him the story, and they'll probably let you
but
off.
But I do thank you for reminding me, though, that auction is ongoing. The high bid is right now $8,000 for 160.
With what, 3 days to go?
Something
it's going
like
to go through the roof.
3 or 4 days.
Late bidding is
yeah,
how those things work.
Is where it goes.
I know.
And also, you have up until the end of day Thursday, if you need tickets for the game, want to make a donation to youth football or youth sports in New England, you can get 2 lower bowl tickets for the donation of $2,500. $2,172 of that is completely tax deductible. 100% of the proceeds go to sports in New England through the Patriots Charitable Foundation. So, you know, if you're going to pay through the nose, you might as well do it that way. And write it off on your taxes and get good tickets and, you know,
what's
be in the lower bowl.
Was that your selling point?
I was going to say. Well, he's not the best pitch man
you
in the business.
You would never work on those
late
night
you
specials.
You want to do it this way.
Look, if you're going to pay through the nose, call now.
If you're going to get tickets, you're going to pay.
Order before midnight tomorrow.
If you're getting tickets to the game at this latest stage, you're paying through the nose, so you might as well do it for a good cause.
The formula is you're supposed to say they're going for StubHub for $5,000, but wait,
right.
Order now and you can get it for just $2,500.
Well. I don't know
You're a
that.
Terrible pitch
I don't
man.
Even like to mention that company's name, but the fact
sorry.
Is that you can't get it. The tickets there's some limited amount, but they're still available, and you have up until I believe Thursday. You know, I don't know 5 o'clock, whatever. But do it now to make sure you get them.
Is it a soft deadline?
It is kind of soft deadline. I'm kind of waiting to see what happens. I might extend it into Friday.
You're controlling this too.
Is there anything you don't
Holy
control?
Holy crap!
We're in serious trouble.
You know.
Fred.
Just trying to help out
Let's
the community.
Let's go back over.
Oh.
Go ahead.
Speaking of cops, state troopers, got a little story to tell.
Excellent.
Oh, boy.
From the trip to the TV show yesterday.
Yeah.
Of course, I always ride with Fred Kirsch. I sit in the back of the caddy because I feel like I'm being chauffeured. It's, you know, a nice ride back there. Leather seats, got all the amenities. And so Fred normally drives
all the amenities
fast in the parking lot. We usually gun it to get out of Gillette Stadium. And then once we get on the road, he does, you know, 30 on Route 1, cranks it up to 45 or so when we get on 95 in the major highways. If he sees a large truck going very slow, he generally pulls in behind them and follows the entire way to the TV show. Yesterday, for some reason, State Trooper...
Draft trucks on the way to the show.
Yes, he does. State Trooper comes by us and pulls over. Fred sees him and all of a sudden just gets in the left lane, guns it, doing 70, 72. And I'm saying, Fred, what are you doing? Oh, I'm just going with the flow of traffic, he says, as we zip by a State Trooper. Well, then about, I don't know, a mile later, Fred goes to merge into the middle lane. At the same time, the state trooper is trying to merge into the middle of the lane, so they're both nearly colliding, and the guy throws on his lights and pulls the car over that was in front of Fred and gave
yes.
that guy a ticket.
Yes.
Fred's very
narrowly
close.
Escaping a ticket.
The newly dubbed Leadfoot Kirsch was this close to getting a ticket,
because
to which
you
he
know,
said...
You know that if I got pulled over by that state trooper, not only would... Fathead in the back be laughing at me.
Giggling
He'd
like a schoolgirl.
Wise ass.
Oh, yeah.
For the cop, I'd be in handcuffs by the end of that.
Normally, he just, what?
Officer, I'd check the trunk if I were
yeah,
you.
Yeah, right.
What's this holster doing on the floor? Which, by the way, there
nice
was
going,
a.
Walt.
There was a gun holster on the floor, which is a total other story.
Don't ask questions about that.
But.
Did I get the blood up?
Yeah, there was no blood.
Okay.
The California duster pulled that off.
All right.
But can I even say what you said you would have done had you gotten a ticket?
Yeah.
Fred goes, if I had gotten a ticket, I would have just expensed it anyway. We're on the way to the TV show.
I would have. You don't think I would have? I was, you know.
So if any crafts are listening, that's what Fred Kirsch does with your money.
All right. That's Andy's
why
little
gotta,
story.
Why do you got to do that? Why do you got to throw
it was
that
a great
there?
Story, though.
No,
it could have only been a little bit better.
The story was fantastic, but why do you got to throw in the shot at the end there? The expenses.
I would have loved to have seen how that would have played out with me giggling in the back of the car.
Oh, I know. You would have said something.
No, you would have said, you know who I am? I work for the Patriots.
Does that guy in the back have a problem?
Call him.
I'd be like, you know,
I
know I would have ended up
He was
up
a
being
stray
arrested.
On the side of the road. I know I shouldn't have picked him up, but.
I would have
no, he's going to hit me later if I tell you.
He'd be like, you know, you can't have, you know, things in the back blocking your rear view. I'm sorry, that's just his head.
He can't do anything about that. It's his head.
All right, webradio at patriots.com's email address.
Are we at the top of the hour? Are we ready for a break?
Yeah, let's take a break, Gary.
The BFW guys even get on each other during breaks.
Hey, who's dropping bombs in there? How about a courtesy flush?
Patriots.com radio.
When you've got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we gotta go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo!
Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo! And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
He's been a three-time champion, two-time Super Bowl MVP, and kicked off 2007 on a record pace.
Three touchdown passes in the first half.
Now, Tom Brady has signed official Patriots mini replica helmets, and you can get one free. Exclusively from the New England Patriots, this authentic mini helmet comes complete with chin strap, face mask, and Tom Brady's autograph. Perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autographed mini helmet limited to those making a qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. Fred, Andy, Paul, Gary's in the booth. Where's Mini Gary? Is he around? Is he left?
Mini Gary was getting in some people's one-on-one interviews today with this microphone.
Yeah, sticking our flag in, our mic flag.
Tom had a doctor's appointment. He's got to get checked up before if the Patriots...
Well, a playoff run, Fred.
Yeah.
This is an important time for Tom's health.
We got to get him going for the
playoffs. The Cowboys.
God help us if the Cowboys play the Patriots in the Super Bowl.
I really hope they don't.
Can you imagine what he'll be like?
Yeah, I think it's going to be the Packers anyway, but...
He's a ticking time bomb as it is.
I know. It's going to be crazy. We're going to have to, like, I don't know, put him in one of those...
I think we just send him to that hotel.
Yeah.
And we just tell, you know, we'll see you at the game. And then, you know, you write stories in the Cowboys all week and just leave us alone.
We can't have him blog. Huh. That's a loose cannon.
Blog, you won't be able to read his stuff before he posts it. We'll be dead.
But we shouldn't be thinking that far ahead because we've
Why
got
not?
A game.
We're allowed.
Why not?
We've got a game coming up this week. We've
got
to get past this one.
It might be Packers-Colts. I don't know why.
Really?
Like just a weird that that's it's going to be 2-2.
Well, you thought the Patriots were going to be 0-2 to start the season.
So no, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't.
You thought there was a better chance of that than the other thing. That means you thought that was going to happen.
That's not accurate. I thought they'd be 1-1. That's what I thought.
Okay, so you thought they'd be 1-1. All right.
Thank you.
You're still wrong.
I was wrong, and then I was right when I said 16-0. Yeah. And I'm going to be right when February 7th, Josh McDaniels gets named head coach of the Patriots.
All right, webradiopatriots.com. KC writes in, I just downloaded and listened to your Friday show, so the subject of the email won't be very current. Okay, well, anyway. He's talking about the out-of-bounds play where, they had the penalty on Plaxico Burress. He says he thinks that Burress spit on Merriweather while Merriweather was lying on the ground. You can't actually see Burress spit in the replay because his back is to the camera, but you can see him tilt his head back as if he is aiming. The ref is looking directly at Burress when this happens, and he throws the flag immediately. This would explain why there's no evidence of a late hit on the part of the Giants. It would also mean that the refs called the foul on the correct player. I haven't heard anyone else forward this theory. Take a look at the replay and let me know what you think.
So. Well, I don't know about I have heard the spitting theory thrown around there, and I don't know if it's accurate or not. I did see the replay and didn't see any, you know, any evidence of that. However, the call was on Amani Toomer, whose face was to us in the camera, so he didn't spit.
Yeah.
Unless he spit before he got on camera, which is a possibility. I don't know. But it certainly didn't look like on camera that he did the spitting. And if Burress is indeed the one who spit, then they didn't get the right guy. So.
Right.
Brent writes in. He's from Zurich, Switzerland.
Nice. Gary, do we have a pin?
But he basically the theme of his email is he wants to know if Chad Johnson would be a good fit with the Patriots. He's looking supposedly for to get traded out of Cincinnati. He wants to know if he would fit in with the Patriots.
Well, that's been the whole story since it's been clear that Bill likes Chad Johnson's act. They've gone back and forth, the Pro Bowl, the times the Patriots have played, all that. That's been this underlying theory, and I think it's almost the root of some people believing the Patriots are going to ruin the league because everybody wants to come play here for Bill and all that crap. Yes, he'd be a good fit because you know why? He's a good receiver.
Yeah, right. I think he'd be
and
a great
he loves
fit.
The game.
Right.
And I think Bill has a lot of respect for the way he plays the game.
Yeah. Also wanted to comment that, and this is still Brent in Zurich, every time Craig is on, I fast forward on my iPod, and also don't think Eric adds much to the conversation. And listening to him try to prove he knows more than people think he does gets annoying after a while. Other than that, it's great to listen to you guys.
Just an update for our listeners. Gary cannot find Zurich, Switzerland. He's throwing his hands in the air.
It's in Europe, Gary.
Yes, that's Africa you're looking at. North.
No, he's not. He's looking at Europe.
I know. We're making fun of him, Paul. It's radio. Play along, you fraud. No fun piece of poo.
Let's Clinton Omaha.
You have a lot of pent-up hostility, don't you? Fred, do you believe that?
You know, that's what he does.
A lot of pent-up hostility.
Well,
there.
Speaking of Andy, Matt from Quincy has an email.
I've been hearing about this email. No one's told me about what it says, but just wait till you hear Matt's email.
Well, this is Matt from Quincy.
Matt, I couldn't agree with you more. Oh, he haven't even started reading yet.
The subject line says, Andy, a Packer? Question mark.
Nothing good comes from Quincy.
I have
Nothing.
No doubt that Eric is gay. He spells Eric with a K, for God's sake. But I'm starting to wonder if maybe Andy plays for Green Bay also. There is a psychological theory that says that people that continue to call attention to and persecute people of an alternative lifestyle are secretly venting frustration at their own gayness, to use a technical term.
People who accuse others of being gay are often covering up their own latent homosexuality.
Right.
Does that mean I'm really fat and bald, too, because I make fun of Paul for being fat and bald?
Does anyone else think
that's true. I'm fat and bald.
Does anyone else think that Andy protests a little too much? He brings it up every time Scalavino's in the room. And I don't want to hear that Andy is married, so is Rock Hudson.
Well, that's true.
Casale has long accused Andy of carrying on an affair with
Lori. I just didn't feel real crisp.
I think this accusation may not be that far off base, but maybe it's actually Andy and Eric that are carrying on their own little Broadway musical. Go ahead, Eric. Out Andy once and for all. I'm sure between the two of you, Andy is still at least driving the bus anyway. If, as I suspect this is true, I'm not sure who would be more jealous, Lori or Tom.
See, the greatest part about that email is he ties it all up with a lot of subtleties. Tom at the end. Why would Tom be jealous?
Well, he's the one that wants to bend somebody over.
And it's Andy.
There's a lot going on there.
There's a lot of homosexuality running around. Fred, evidently you and I are the only two heterosexuals in the group.
Well, that's good to know.
Absolutely.
You're too fat and bald to be gay.
Oh.
What does that have to do with anything?
Well,
that
they're very neat.
So
I'm pretty neat.
Gay.
Like that guy.
Well, you are neat. He is
just,
very neat.
Just because I'm fat.
He's very neat.
But I know. That guy, the Titan guy, that's...
TC in the house.
Hey, Tom Casale made it from the doctor's appointment.
And he's got 3 months to
There's
live.
There's a lot of subs in there.
Tom, which finger did he use?
The whole fist? Holy Moses.
And using the whole fist,
I've been here for a while. I've been on the phone forever.
Oh, good.
Trying to straighten things out.
Uh-oh. That doesn't sound good.
No.
I also noticed you got a package from Canada. That there's nothing good that comes from that. You getting your steroids from North now? Or
no, but someone sent me a movie.
Oh.
A DVD.
A movie?
Yeah, I forgot the name. I'll bring it down
Snatch.
Tomorrow. Snatch.
That's what? Dirty.
It's a good movie.
They figured you weren't getting any snatch at home, so they'd send you some.
So our IT department blocks out those sites, so now Gary, Tom has to send them to the
man. Add the movie Snatch to the list of things I can't say on this show.
The movie you can. Not getting it at home, you can't.
Right. So. You know, you're giving it the wave, the hint. There is none of that with him. He doesn't get it. There's no lines.
Tom, you know what taint is?
Taint?
Don't tell me. Just let me know if you know what that word
like
is.
Like tainted?
No, not the real word.
Oh, no.
Oh, okay. See, Tom was with me. There's a really dirty taint word that apparently all these guys knew, and it's a common...
Oh, no, I don't know what it is.
No.
All right. Well, anyway, let's get back. How you doing, Tom? Everything all right?
Yeah. It was apparently the motor in my pump is dying out.
Oh, and your insulin pump?
Yeah, so here's the thing. You can't get a new one until every 5 years. Your insurance won't pay for it.
Huh.
So I've had this for 4 years, yeah. And this is what the doctor says. You know, this model, a lot of the motors have been dying 3 or 4 years, but you still can't get a new one. So
that's
I had
wrong.
To call up the company, and
that's
they're going to send me a replacement one. Like, boy, I'm really cheating the system if I get
right.
a new one a
yeah.
year early.
God, no. Oh, man.
So that's what the problem's been, because it's not delivering the insulin.
Oh, well, that's good to know.
At the rate that it's supposed to
that's
be.
That's good to know. It's not the diet.
No. He said that's a great diet to be on.
Big surprise. Fred didn't have a diagnosed
problem. Fred doesn't think I'm eating any carbs. That's the problem.
You are.
I am eating
but
carbs.
But then you're not on the diet.
No,
he's modified it for himself.
Yeah,
he's doing
the Casale diet.
Right.
And how you doing on that?
Good. I lost like 8 pounds.
That's good. That's good.
Now, what are you guys talking about?
Just about everything.
We talked about the playoff games a little bit. We talked about the Belichick press conference and the locker room today. Now we've kind of ventured off into our own little, you know.
Now, have you talked about the great white hype that is James Laremus?
Yes, we have.
Because
well,
we all had the
yeah,
same view
you guys noticed,
alone.
Okay, now, I want to expand on this a little bit because I know you guys don't sit around in your sweatpants and watch college football as much as I do. The 2 years Laurinaitis has started there, they've played an extremely weak schedule.
That's true.
Now, the tough teams they played with offensive talent that's comparable to the NFL, like Michigan last year, Illinois this year with speed, Florida, and last
LSU.
Night against LSU, he hasn't played well in any of those games. So I call this the Andy Katzenmoyer theory because that's what he did. He got all his stats against Indiana and those crappy teams. But whenever you played a good team, you never heard Katzenmoyer's name, ever. But people loved him because he's white and he played for Ohio State. So my theory is Laurinaitis is probably a decent player, but he's way overrated
right.
because he's white, he has tattoos, and his father used to be an animal in the Road Warriors.
And, you know, the other thing to throw in there that would sort of back that up is how often do great inside linebackers come along in the college draft?
Not very.
And you got one last year. So what are the chances back-to-back years?
Oh, he's not even.
You got a guy
Willis
worthy of a top 10
pick. Well,
we never
saw what Polznuski could do. He was doing well before he got hurt.
Right, and I think Laurinaitis has to play in that same system, though. I think he has to play in the cover two system.
Plus he only played one game.
I know. Well, he looked good.
And
he made the start.
I'm sorry, two games.
Now, Andy, in this system, you have to take on guards.
Oh, he got killed.
He got no
night.
Shot.
Killed.
No shot.
But the other problem is he also had no shot when the tight end ran right by him for a touchdown.
That's the thing.
You got to make one of those two plays.
Well, that's the thing that concerned me. LSU didn't go away from him. They went at him.
Right.
They ran at
he
him.
He was terrible.
They threw at him.
You know what I told Paul? He looked like Teddy Bruschi. He was around the ball a lot, but like two steps late.
Just didn't
make any plays.
I said it to Allison when they showed that he had 19 tackles, a BCS record. I said he had a Teddy Bruschi game. He made tackles 8 yards down the field all night long.
We're looking to replace Teddy Bruschi, but not with Teddy Bruschi.
Right. Yeah. And beyond the first series of the game, the Ohio State defense didn't really slow down LSU the whole day, so I don't care how many tackles he ended up with.
Right.
I watched the whole first half, and I would say three-quarters of the plays that LSU had the ball, I kind of watched. Instead of watching the drop back and the ball, I watched Laurinaitis because I wanted to see, you know, exactly what you're talking about. I wanted to make an impression of him in that him taking blocks, him getting to the ball, and I saw the first step was never seeming to be really decisive.
Right.
It was always kind of wait. And I don't know. Look, that might be that their defensive scheme could be a read and react. I don't know what their assignments are, but he never seemed to make a beeline to the ball and get that. Now, contrast that with the kid number 6 off the edge. Is it Henry or what was his name?
The outside linebacker.
Yeah, he made tons of plays.
Right.
In a game that their defense was overmatched, but the few plays that they made, he seemed to be making them all. I don't know. I don't think that the guy's a stiff or anything, but I do think if we're talking about
him in the top 10.
If we're talking about him in the top half of the first round, I don't see it.
And I think he's a microcosm for Ohio State these past couple of years. They beat up on all the bad teams. Then when it's time to play somebody, they're not in their class.
Right.
And we saw that last night.
Last night was particularly because they, you know, last year against Florida, they had the kick return and they had the momentum early. But that was just one play. This was like they dominated the first quarter and, well, the first 10 minutes. And they should have been up 14-0, but it was 10-0. And then even with that, they couldn't slow them down. It was unbelievable to me. They had everything going their way. The place, all the red shirts in the place are going crazy, and they couldn't even slow them down.
You hear that out of 32 major defensive stats, Ohio State is first in 27 of them.
Yeah.
Well, they're not that good. Right. That's overrated because of the people they play. When you play Youngstown State and Akron all the time, that's what you're going to get. Meanwhile, the SEC is playing each other. They're playing teams out of conference. You'll see it. They play USC the second game of the year. They get killed again.
Yeah,
they
see, that's the aspect of it that I misread or didn't really give enough because I've been kind of tired of the whole Big Ten SEC thing. I think the SEC is the best conference.
Yes,
but I just think that the SEC was, you know, like the speed and this and that. But what I think I underestimated was 6th, 7th, 8th place in the SEC.
Right.
Those teams can beat you.
Mm-hmm.
They're good football teams. You know, Indiana can't beat
Northwestern.
Northwestern can't beat you. Minnesota can't beat you.
Right.
Those teams stink.
Here's what the NCAA should do short of a playoff system for college football. At the end of the season, after they've, you know, announced the national champion, which is dubious at best, you should be able to have one challenge game. Any team in college football can challenge another team. They both have to agree to it. You hype it like a heavyweight match. You know, all the schools get to keep the money.
Professional wrestling.
You know, so like right now, USC could challenge LSU.
And why would LSU take it?
And LSU could say no?
Because
why would they take it? They're the champion.
Why would you play?
Because you know how much money they would make?
Or if they had a playoff system.
Right, or just do a normal playoff system, which apparently is getting a lot of talk this year.
They're not going to do
that. No, I disagree.
Oh, but this could happen.
No, yeah.
But this could happen.
Brett, there's a lot of talk.
I'm having fun with you too.
But Chris Fowler made a great point last night. See, he's the smartest guy they have in sports right now. He said, if you're the big
behind you.
Well, no, he knows more than I do.
No, Chris Fowler's right.
He said, why would the Big Ten want a playoff system? Because you can schedule these bums at the beginning of the year. You can come in here, take your chances in a national title game. He said, the SEC is very fortunate to have two teams back-to-back in the national title game because they beat each other up so much.
Right.
He said, I got news for you. If there was a playoff, the same thing would be happening with USC and Georgia against these Big Ten teams. So why would the Big Ten want a playoff system? They're happy just trying to get their teams to the national title game and taking the money. That's a good point.
But I think it's going to – there seems like there's too much talk this year.
You know
they're already
saying?
Talking
Buy
about
Big
contracts.
Ten. See well, you
that's
later,
what
Big
I think.
Ten.
If you have 10 conferences that say we'll do it, then you know what? You're out. We don't need you.
Yeah.
Either you're with us or go do your own little thing.
On the phone right now is John in Palm Bay. John, how you doing?
Hey, good. I just want to ask you a couple questions about the Jaguars. Are you guys worried what part of the Jaguars team worries you the most? And do you think it's better for or worse that Colts are going to be playing the Chargers this week?
I think the running backs for the Jaguars are the biggest concern.
Yeah, the running game.
They can hit you with big
Fred
plays.
Taylor and
they can run
and
inside. They can run outside. They can hit it out of the backfield. This is one of those ramblings that Bill went on that I actually think is accurate. Neither guy can do only one thing.
Right.
Maurice Jones-Drew is fast and can hit big plays. He's also built like a poop brick house, as they say. I mean, he is just like, if they ever start testing, I want him in line first for whatever they're testing for. But they can make plays, and against this linebacking core, little wheel routes, we saw it against the Steelers where he just goes whoosh, right down the sideline. I could see that happening against the Patriots.
That's the biggest, even though none of us really thinks it's going to be a problem because we think the Patriots will stop it, but that's the biggest concern is that Jacksonville gets their offense rolling with the ground game, and that in turn keeps the Patriots on the sideline.
And
that's the biggest
concern. I'm also very worried about foreign objects.
And I would say Reggie Williams.
I'm worried.
You're having a great day.
If they have foreign objects in the hut, in the pylons.
The pylons? You know, the little things by the end zone?
I see Fred is not.
They might take them out and, you know, do things to our players. So
and in terms of the Indianapolis-San Diego game.
I want pat downs before the game.
I mean, I don't think it much matters. San Diego, I think, is a pretty physical team. I think Tennessee is more physical, but.
And dirtier.
But there's no way I don't think either team
it's all
is,
about dirty play today.
I don't think either team is capable of going to Indy and winning, to
right.
be honest.
And that's John in Palm Bay. And Eric, the leg, is here. The gang is truly all here now. Eric is not in from the cold, indoors today?
No.
Turn your mic on.
Oh, but it was that warm. You didn't have a jacket? Where's your jacket?
Yeah, it's up at my desk.
It's like 70 degrees out there.
It's like 65 out there.
Wow.
Yeah, it felt like
what am I doing down
camp.
Here? I should be outside shooting.
69.
Sense of entitlement.
So pretty much the gang was all there on the field, too.
Yeah.
The only missing player was Kyle Echol, who hasn't been there for a while now, ever since.
Had a bellyache.
What they say. But again, our friend Bam Childress, who fans love every preseason, back with the running backs again. So I'm going to go out on this limb and say that he gets activated for this game this weekend.
Bam Childress.
Yeah.
Okay.
As a running back. Yeah.
Do they have a roster spot?
I say you're nuts.
Well, Kyle Echol. They could make a move by the end of the week.
Yeah.
Echol hasn't been playing. They would only have three running backs at that point, so.
Okay.
And he's been working with them for the last few days.
I would think that they're doing something with him in terms of scout team, but.
Plus, cap-wise.
He's probably playing Maurice Jones-Drew.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
I don't know, but he was doing it last week too. So okay. that was my only point. So Samuel and Hobbs.
To be honest with you,
I would
have Heath Evans playing the role of Maurice Jones-Drew.
Well, except for the speed.
Yeah.
But I'm just talking about the size hasn't really.
No.
You know, with Childress, I'm not sure how much of a look that he's giving.
Maurice Jones-Drew pretty unique.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you see Rodney said aside from Barry Sanders, hardest to tackle. Because I think the combination of power and moves, elusiveness.
Right.
Although.
He said he was better than Reggie Bush at the combine. He was right.
He was right. Except for the fact when that.
Jones-Drew said that? He said, I'm better than Reggie Bush?
He said he thought. They said, where do you think you should go in terms of Reggie Bush? And he said, I think I should go one. And he said, well, do you think you're better than Reggie Bush? And he said, I'll put my game up against anybody. So. He didn't say I'm better, but
it's been more productive.
Once again, thanks to Chris and Matt for lunch.
As you can hear, Tom is enjoying right now.
Did he just do the Reggie Bush thing?
Who?
No.
I don't have my things on. You make sure you keep that laryngitis stuff, Gary, loudmouth, for when he stinks in the NFL 3 years from now. You can play that clip.
What's the mood, Eric?
Oh, very upbeat. I mean, guys were, you know, usually it's during stretching. You can tell that it was pretty quiet during stretching, but once they broke out into the individual, they did positional drills and stuff. Guys were hooting and hollering. Everyone was excited. Coaches
were they in
were
the bowl
around.
Or in the back practice field?
No, in the bowl.
In the bowl.
On the field.
That's
yep.
good.
On the turf.
I approve of
getting
that.
Ready for that. You know.
Okay.
So mood looks good. It was warm out. They were, obviously they didn't really do a heck of a lot, which is not any surprise. But pretty much everyone was there, like I said. So that's a good sign, if nothing else.
All right. That's the practice update from Eric the Leg Scalavino.
Your mom goes to college.
I think you should have waited to read that email until everybody was here that you read earlier.
Dan in Delaware writes in. He says, I was reading John Tomasi's article in the Herald today, actually it was Monday, entitled No Way to Pass It Off. I don't read the Herald much here in Delaware, so I'm sure this guy has a great reputation. But I got to take exception to something he wrote. He was talking about how the Pats dismantled the Jags in 05. That's right, 05. And he wrote about Garrard now in comparison. Quote, the odds could be stacked even further against Garrard because the Patriots won so many games so easily this season, they kept half of the defensive playbook under wraps. Some vanilla efforts may have hurt their league rankings, but they could pay off now that the Pats will be able to unveil more wrinkles than in any other postseason during Belichick's tenure. What? Does anyone in the know really think that Coach Belichick holds back defensive schemes and thus takes chances in games now to win a different game down the line? Maybe I'm way off base here, but what a moron. If there is one thing I have learned from listening to and watching Belichick for years is that he coaches one game at a time and does everything he can to win that game and get as many points as possible every game. How could a Boston sports writer think anything else? Tell me if I'm way off base here.
Well, all I'll say is, and I don't think we need to get into name-calling, I would say Mike Reese is the most respected beat writer covering this team right now by the coaching staff, the organization, national people. Very well respected, right?
I would agree.
And the season finale, his analysis on the game was all about the Patriots playing vanilla, not to show too much for the postseason. So you have the two biggest papers in the town, their beat writers writing about the team being vanilla. I don't think it's the most idiotic theory on earth. I don't really buy into it. I think for the most part, Bill plays to win.
He does what he thinks he needs to do.
Yeah.
But
maybe he can do more things
right.
in the postseason.
Maybe he can do more, but...
But I don't think he was like saying, well, geez, you know, we could use this against the Colts,
right.
but maybe we won't use it this week or...
But it's also not the most idiotic thing ever. I mean... And John Tomasi does not have a great reputation.
Right.
But both guys have written it.
Right. I would agree with Andy. I do think there's an element maybe that they've been so good offensively this year that they kind of know going into games, this is probably a game we're going to have success putting points on the board, so we don't necessarily have to throw the kitchen sink at them
right.
defensively. But that's not to say they've gone strictly vanilla. I don't think that's the case. And especially I've seen them in the second halves of some of these games really pulling out stops trying – I mean – that Giants game, you know, midway through the third quarter on, there was 8-9 guys at the box that were coming after
Rodney.
They were coming after the running game. I remember back in Baltimore,
yeah,
same kind of deal.
Well, it's interesting on that DVD I gave you. At one point, Belichick says to Dean Pease, you know, we're giving him too much time to stand back there. It's ridiculous. So it's interesting.
That's been the key, I think, defensively all year, is that when they get pressure on the quarterback, they're impossible to move the ball
against. Because their pass defense isn't great.
Right.
Matt, so you can't count on the coverage to be there 24/7. They need a rush.
Matt from Quincy has a follow-up email. He said, Andy, no offense to my earlier email. I think you are still the fourth best guy on the show.
Did you save that email?
Gary's got it somewhere.
Why, you haven't read it?
No, I don't get the emails.
Oh. Take shots at pretty much everyone.
Chris from the Bronx.
Except me and Fred.
Will always read Paul his emails because he always sends us lunch. I agree that Laurinaitis wasn't impressive last night, but I'm wondering who you thought looked good. Who might make it in the NFL and who, if anyone, could work in the Patriots system? Also, I know it's early for draft talk, but is Andy secretly hoping that the Pats draft a certain Florida State receiver to set up practice competition between Randall Gay and Dakota Fagg?
That would be great.
That's not a serious question. I just wanted to see if I could make Andy chuckle.
I think it is a serious question.
I had a song chuckle.
That would be great.
You know who's one guy I liked that I was thinking before the game? Reminded me of kind of Jarvis Green who played there. Is that Jackson off the edge, Tioka Jackson? He's their edge rusher. Now, I'm sure he gets a lot of his sacks because of Dorsey, but he's a guy, I'm not sure where he's projected to go, but he's a guy I like, and obviously Dorsey, I think, is going to be a stud. Hey, did anybody hear what Corso said? I thought he went over the line. He said before the game, he goes, now, according to everybody, Dorsey's this nicest kid in the world, team player, plays his heart out.
Right.
He said, I'm just telling you, he goes, this guy's got millions of dollars at stake. He goes, don't be surprised if he has a hamstring early in the first quarter, a hamstring problem. And Herb Street goes, no, that's not going to happen. And he goes, hey, I'm just telling you, you got a lot of money at stake. All of a sudden, you pull a hamstring. I thought that was kind of a cheap shot. You know, now you're kind of attacking the guy's character.
You've made it
a
seem,
little bit.
Because that guy's been banged up all year. You're basically speculating that he hasn't really been as injured.
Right, that he's worried about the payday.
Right.
And that's not fair.
That seemed a little bit over the edge.
When you're talking about a top 1, 2, 3 pick, those sort of things influence the selection process, character. And, I mean, they really rip a guy down when they're
sure.
taking him that high and handing him $50 million. So, all of a sudden, speculation gets out there that he's been tanking it. He doesn't, you know, he's worried about
yeah.
the payday more than football. That can hurt a guy.
And just as about Laurinaitis, it wasn't just last night. Illinois has two offensive linemen that are going to be high draft picks. They have Mendenhall, who's going to be a first-round draft pick. They have receivers who are going to be first-round draft picks. You know, Michigan has a ton of talent on their offense. Go back and look at those games. Florida last year. Just go back and look at all those games and see what Laurinaitis did. He didn't do anything. But then go back and watch Akron. And he's all over the field. So that's the problem I would have with him.
Jordan Montreal says, since everyone agrees that Laurinaitis is overrated, how did Malcolm Jenkins do? I didn't get a chance to watch the game, but I saw he had a pick in the third quarter. Is he a possible Patriot pick? If not, who do you think the Patriots stay and take at their number 7 spot? And if they do, who do you now like?
He got beat like a drum all night long. The pick was thrown right to him. He barely caught it. he got beat for a touchdown by the their fourth receiver, who ran by him like he was standing still. I mean, he's got the experience where you can play safety and corner, but I don't know what we're talking. Are we talking like the 7th pick in the draft? because Andy, by the way, you're 100% right. They got to get out of there. There's no talent in this draft.
Bad draft.
There's no.
That's we say that row, every then. Year, though.
I thought this was a good draft.
No, top
it's deep,
it's
but
deep.
Not top heavy.
But remember, last year was top heavy, but yeah. It wasn't very deep. This year,
the opposite.
Because if you take McFadden, he's coming out at running back. Now you got Jonathan Stewart at Oregon that might come out. You have Ray
Chris
Rice.
Wells had a nice game last night,
but he's only a sophomore. Oh, I believe he's a true sophomore.
Yeah. He's very good.
Yeah, he's good.
You know who
you have Mendenhall. So why would you take McFadden at 3 when you have all these running? You know what I mean? So that's the thing I'm saying is other than Dorsey at 1, it's going to be tough to pick in that, especially for a team like the Patriots, where there's no like Laron Landry. Like if he was there, boom, you take him.
Right.
Not in terms of first round, but what do you guys think of Jacob Hester for the NFL level?
I think he'll be one of those, I hate to do it, Mike Allstott.
See, I think he's more than that. I think he's more of a pure carrier, a ball carrier than those guys. I mean, like, I look at Brian Leonard. I think this guy is different than that. But
He's more of a power runner.
You guys think more? Yeah, I just think he's
I think
a better
player. I think he can have a 10-year career in the NFL.
I think he'll have a long career doing a lot of
things. He's a great receiver, too. When they line him up at fullback, they usually like to run the wheel route down the sideline.
Yeah.
And I'm talking like 40 yards down the field. He makes great catches.
But he's the kind of guy like a Sammy Morris, I think, where he'll go places and people won't necessarily think a lot of him. And then all of a sudden they'll say, you know what? He's one of the best playmakers on this offense.
Yeah, and he's helping us. I wasn't saying that in terms of, you know, like he's a first-round pick or whatever.
Oh, no, right.
You know, and Tom rattled off 3 or 4 running backs that, you know, would laugh at, I think, in terms of skill, you know, with Jacob Hester. But I think he could be a player. I agree with you.
I agree. Just his high end, I don't think, is like Mendenhall's high end is running back.
I'm not even
his high end
him.
Is he's a nice little player who helps you.
I think
you
the
win
Sammy. I think the Sammy Morris is accurate. He can play fullback. He can play running back. If somebody goes down, he can catch the ball out of the backfield.
One of those all Joe team guys that everybody loves and no one really remembers.
Yeah, the linebacker I liked for Ohio State last night. I can't even remember his name. It was number 6.
Yeah, number 6.
Off the edge. But he seemed to show up to me a lot.
You know, Vernon Golston. Here's what I was thinking about the top 10. I never hear Golston's name unless he's playing Michigan. And who's he beating? Jake Long.
Right.
So, I don't know what to think about these guys.
Well, I told you, when Kuiper, every guy you bring up who's supposed to be a top 5 pick, he goes, well, he's no Peterson. McFadden's no Peterson. Long is no Thomas.
Joe Tom.
If they're not these guys, then it's not a very good top end
of
the draft.
Last year when we were at the Combine, if you mentioned Laron Landry or Joe, all you heard was that guy's a franchise player. And I don't know if you have those guys.
None of these guys get that love.
The way you guys describe it then is probably accurate. It's last year was top heavy but not deep. This year might be
deep and not
I think
deep
it's really
top
deep
heavy.
This year. And when you look at the positions, you're looking at guys like at 7 or 8 who are
so
good players.
So no one's going to trade up because they're going to keep all their extra picks. Because it's a deep draft.
Nah, they'll find somebody. The Patriots will get out of 7. You can guarantee it.
Sandeep in Virginia says, Andy, you should check UrbanDictionary.com if you want to find out what taint is.
I have it. Can I read it?
No.
You cannot.
I was just throwing it out there, see if I got a yes.
let's see. Henry.
Hank.
Says, I sent you an email a few weeks back about this, but I think I sent it at the wrong time of the day. Now that you are reading my emails, I have one more item to discuss. If you watch any NFL-related programming, I'm sure you have seen the Sony HDNA ad featuring Peyton Manning about 15,000 times.
And the doorway is ridiculously short.
Manning walks around from the field to production trailers talking about the places Sony screens are used in the production of NFL television. And in the end, he walks into some family's living room to their apparent delight. Is it just me, or do they have him walking on a ramp or stilts as he enters the room?
Yeah. The doorway is ridiculously short.
Yeah, I think he's on a ramp.
But why?
To make him look bigger than he really is, even though he's big to begin with.
I don't get it. He's 6'5".
Because I think just from the TV angle.
Hey! They make him look.
He walks through like the Incredible Hulk, like he's 10 times the size of the doorway, and it's a big doorway.
Because if they shot it normally, those people sitting on the couch would like obscure him up like up to his neck.
So here's where Henry's email goes off the deep end, and I respect
that was
Henry
the serious
because
part?
He's in Whitefish, Montana, and there's good
racist.
Fly fishing over there. But he says obviously Manning needs his ego and wallet stroked by being in 90% of all commercials that air on Sundays, but do you think he requires that film crews make him into some kind of superhuman? I've always heard stories of guys like Mel Gibson, who was so short,
Tom Cruise.
Has to stand on boxes to see actresses eye to eye in love scenes, but does a 6'5 Manning demand the same kind of treatment.
I think that was more of the people
the
shooting the.
Exactly. Yeah.
If anything, right. I think Manning is one of the good sports. I think he gets makes you know
he's
people make fun of him and he takes it. He's
this. I don't agree with this email. Yeah. If you want to attack a quarterback, why don't you attack Tony Romo for going on vacation the week before a playoff game?
I'm not going to attack him either because he went on vacation with Jessica Simpson.
But which I thought was strange enough until I found out that. There was
other
teammates with them.
Yeah, there were.
The Jason
Wiggins. People say, "Oh, he went to Mexico." Well, they're in Dallas. That's right next door. It's like Brady going to New York.
That's true.
But why are they taking a vacation, Fred? I'm not talking about just Romo. The guy. I'm talking about all the guys that went. Is it time for a vacation? Is it really?
Patriots took some time off.
They went on vacation? Did they go to Martha's Vineyard?
They spent time with family. In his case, he wants her to be his family.
All right. Well, we'll see how it turns out.
I don't know about that.
Or maybe make a family. At least he took a teammate with him.
But the whole Manning thing, I think he's just capitalizing on.
He just does commercials.
No problem with
he does mainstream commercials. Brady does the high end.
It does look silly.
Brady's pompous like Eric. Fuck.
Here we go again.
$3 million for smart water.
Joel in Merrimack, New Hampshire. I thought I heard everything, but this morning I was perusing the net and I ran into this article posted from the Hartford Courant. Apparently Ellis Hobbs, having a newfound ability to play cornerback in the NFL, is upset that people have been questioning his questionable skills. And to them he replied, and I quote, why am I going to get mad over something like that? Hobbs said, Jesus came to save the whole world and he still got persecuted. So now Hobbs is not only going to be a cornerback for the Patriots, but he's also going to be their savior. And the article gets even better. Hobbs goes on to say the following about certain former players who now operate from the booth and spout out criticisms. And so he, you know,
I'll give you my favorite quote from that. The people making those criticisms are probably the ones picked last growing up. I just think that's really funny.
He's comparing himself to Jesus Christ.
Evidently, he's now comparing his ability to that of the people that are asking him questions.
That's not good.
That's not good.
So anyway, Ellis Hobbs.
Just so you know, Ellis, if we were picking Patriots, you'd be pretty last when we made the draft.
By the way, Matt from Quincy, you can stop emailing me to my personal email account asking me draft questions if you want to take shots at me on the show.
It was a great – Eric, you should read it too. It's a great email. Fred read
this
it before you guys got here.
Yeah, go ahead. Don't worry. He doesn't call you pompous.
Nope. There's nothing about you being pompous in there. I promise.
My mom goes to college.
Shannon, want to know how much I need to buy into this Jaguar hype in their chances of beating the Pats.
Zero.
Sure, they have a good, if not great, running attack, blank and blank. I can't say that. Why is he trying to trick me? Sure, their special teams is dangerous on returns. And sure, the quarterback doesn't, and I can't read that, make that many mistakes. But isn't the reason why Garrard doesn't throw many INT due to the fact that, can't read that, he doesn't take too many chances? I don't see them throwing too many passes that are over 10 to 15 yards. I can't read that. Do you? See, this is Shannon trying to get to trick me.
Yes.
Yeah. You stepped up your game. Though.
You're too clever, though.
And I seem to remember Tom saying a few weeks back that the Pats would destroy the Jags if they met in the playoffs. Tom, do you still feel the same? Thanks, guys. Peter in the pie hole. Oh, did I just read that?
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't think the game's going to be close.
Yeah. I think we all still feel that same way.
You know, you kind of look at their team, and, you know, they still stop the run pretty well. But they're ranked 10th this year. I think the loss of Stroud hurts them a little bit. Now if you don't have Henderson, and I'm not saying the Patriots are going to run the ball, but I'm just saying in those quick little hitters to Kevin Falk, if they try those, they don't do anything that great other than run the football. And none of us think they're going to line up. I think the exception to the rule was the Baltimore game, and I think that's the one game the Patriots weren't up for. I think the Philly game was a great game. I think the Giants game was a great game. I think Baltimore, they just showed up.
They had
nothing
in the tank that night. It just looked like they were tired from the start.
I can't see that happening again.
Let's see.
That was a good email, by the way.
Matt and Quincy.
Glenn in Calgary wants to know if it's appropriate at this time to start talking about the succession plan for quarterback. No, it's not appropriate. So we'll go to the next
email. So the succession plan for head coach is clear. February 7th, we'll all find out.
Let's see. This is TG and NJ, or TG and Joyzy, as he likes to say. I'm going to quote Don Banks here. I couldn't ask it better than what he wrote. Quote, what this weekend did for me was strengthen the argument for making the NFL playoffs a 12-team seeded tournament based on regular season records. If we had a 12-team seeded tournament, the Bucks and Steelers wouldn't have earned home games. And with that kind of seeding, you might have fewer of those Week 16 and Week 17 games where a division champion rests a slew of starters, knowing that it can't influence its seeding one way or another. Keep the AFC, NFC, and divisional alignment in place to give the regular season and the schedule the structure it requires, but seed the playoffs 1 through 12 and let the matchups reflect the team's overall records. If that were the case, even the Super Bowl would be enhanced because we might be in line for that Patriots-Colt pairing that could never happen in the current system. Makes sense if you ask me, but what do you say?
I'm still trying to work on the college game.
I agree.
I kind of like the idea.
I agree about the records. I mean, I might want to keep the conference thing going, but I agree about the records. I think they should be seeded 1 through 6 by record, not by division, because the schedules and whatnot, you know, come into play there. And I don't think it's because of divisional play or whatever. I think that will even out. I think there'll be plenty of times that a wild card has a better record than a division winner because the wild card had an easier schedule and that reason only. And there'll be other times where the divisional team will have a better record because they had an easier schedule. Like right now, the AFC
South.
But you
don't think they should mix it up, AFC, NFC,
one big thing?
I do. Well,
no,
I kind of like the idea.
Andy likes that. I don't mind if they do that. I don't really feel that strongly about it either way. But I do think that Jacksonville twice was victimized for having a better record than the division winner that they had to go and face in the first round. In 05 against the Patriots, and then this past week against Pittsburgh. And I think that they should get a home game for having a better record within the same conference.
You know what I find weird is that, you know, there's the AFC and the NFC, and those two conferences actually have guys that are, like, in charge of the conference. They have, like, commissioners. What the hell do they do?
I didn't know that.
They're making $500,000
a year. Have commissioners?
There's like a head of the AFC and a head of the NFC.
Who are you talking about? There's a director of like communications for those.
No, I didn't know there was a director. I think
head
so.
I've heard that before too. Like there's somebody who runs the conference.
Right, right.
Whoa, I want that job.
When the heck?
So the Patriots fans know, like,
and you know, there's an NFC party and an AFC party before, you know. So if we did that system,
in different cities,
that would do away all of that. There wouldn't be
a championship game party in each city.
The other thing is though,
because it wouldn't be a championship.
No, you'd still have two final games to decide
It'd
who goes
semifinal.
To the Super Bowl.
It'd be the semifinals.
Right, so you'd have a semifinal party.
Well, it's not the same as the AFC championship.
So Fred,
you still have all the same games. It was just how they.
No, you would have
together.
The same games, but it wouldn't be. What are you the champion of?
But Fred,
in other words,
you can't not do something just because
the
there won't be a party.
the Belichick.
Fred,
division.
You went home at 8 o'clock.
There isn't a division. See what I'm saying?
You can make it up. It doesn't matter. No, you'd end up with better games.
This guy went home at 8 o'clock.
You'd also end up
the party.
You're saying you'd end
she
up
comes straight here from the party.
Like,
say, you'd end up with a final.
Wanted
four.
To go to the martini bar,
right.
Like maybe the Colts and
so
Patriots.
How about a
in
the final four party in each city?
Okay, a final four.
But the only thing I'll say for Patriot fans, I know now it's appealing because it's going to be the Colts and the Patriots. 5 years from now, the NFC is going to be way better than the AFC, most likely, and then the Patriots will be the seventh seed.
That's why, though,
at some point this needs to change. But I mean, it's going to turn back.
But that's why it's better again, because you get back to the two good NFC teams should be in the Super Bowl. I want the Super Bowl to be the two best teams in football.
There's an argument
possible.
For that.
It might not be the AFC. Might you know? It could be one.
It, so this year, it
10
could be
years
Colts
in
Patriots.
A row, it might be an NFC team versus an AFC team. But then it might be 5 years in a row, both AFC five. Mm-hmm. Either way, I want Colts Patriots. I want.
I could give a crap
are.
About the conferences,
right?
To be
whoever
with
the two.
You.
Best
I
want are. The two best teams because it's such a letdown for us to know that next week. When we watch Colts-Patriots play,
that's
the best game of the year. Yeah. And then we have to work another full week and try to pretend
how about if
that
you were watching,
the biggest game in sports is the biggest game in sports.
How about if you were watching it on TV?
Right.
After that, you get the NFC game. Yeah. Ooh.
Right.
You know, like you watch the Patriots-Colts, then they're going to throw on, you know, Green Bay and the Giants.
The best game should
you
be
heard
in
me.
The first weekend in
know,
February.
So bitter,
what'd you say?
Green Bay and the Giants.
Oh, on Green Bay and the Giants.
Oh, well, you're not going to
then
the
he goes, you heard me.
And then when Green Bay beats the Giants and takes on the Colts, everybody wants to know that that's the best game.
Fred, this is last year's. According to this masthead, there's no head of the AFC and the head of the NFC.
I thought Fred was wrong.
They have a director of like AFC information and a separate one for the NFC.
Oh, maybe that's what I
where
heard.
Where you get
not a lot
you know,
of
like
information.
Credentials and stuff like that. Yeah, and that guy
I saw
who's
someone
in over
interviewed
his head,
once,
Corey Rush.
And they said something of AFC. That's why I thought Fred was right.
No, Steve Alec, my friend.
Yes, Steve Alec is a legend. Corey Rush is no Steve Alec.
Steve Alec used to answer questions before I even asked him. He was so efficient.
Let's see. Alex says, I took an early glimpse at this week's spreads, and every home team is getting at least an edge of 7.5. Is this the normal size of the spread, or should we expect the line to shrink a bit during the week? One question to Tom, is Dallas the most vulnerable home team?
I think so. You know, if I
kind of agree with
you.
Well,
no, I'm just... Because
I think both NFC games.
Well, this is what I would do if I was gambling. You try to find these weekends where you can hit big. If I was gambling this week, I'd put 500 on the Colts and 500 on the Patriots, because you know one of those games is going to be a blowout. You try to hit that both ways. In the NFC, I would take both underdogs, because I think you're getting good value there with those teams. That way, if you go 3-1, you pull out $1,000, because the AFC, you're set. One of those, either the Colts or the Patriots are going to win big. There's a chance both of them do. And then you try to hit the underdogs with the NFC. That's what I would do.
But as we've said a million times, going by what Tom would do... lead you to looking for a job at age 30 and going to college.
Yeah, well,
I do agree, and we talked about it before.
Ohio State didn't have it. Luckily, they scored that last touchdown to get it over in the second half.
Louie in Tampa says, how many games does a coach need to qualify for all-time records? I want to know if Camp Cameron is worse than Rich Kotite. To tell you the truth, when the MVP voting came out, I thought Brett Favre vote was from Mike Felger. Give me a break.
Felger doesn't vote.
Felger doesn't have a vote.
He doesn't
give
have
me
vote.
A break.
No.
He doesn't know who the starting quarterback for the Giants is. I could give him a vote for MVP. I think Kotite would be a lot worse because he has a longer, you know, a longer resume of work of incompetence.
Yeah, it's only 1 year, so you don't know how bad Cameron is. I agree. But I do think the NFC teams are vulnerable, the two home teams in the NFC. I think Seattle has a legitimate shot to go to Green Bay.
No one's going to be stunned. You would be stunned if Jacksonville won. You're not going to be stunned if Seattle wins.
Oh, I think that, the question was about, do you think the spreads are going to go down a little bit? You know, maybe the Giants might, enough money will come in on the Giants that will get it down to 7. But,
plus with the T.O. thing.
But the Jacksonville Patriots game is going to be closer to 2 touchdowns before that's said and done.
Josh in Arlington, Virginia, is it? Yes, Arlington, Virginia. He says, can we all take a minute to reflect upon the strides that Paul has made in the last year? He has gone from a grating radio personality to irritating radio personality.
Thank you.
Is that better?
Seriously, I heard you guys reading an email earlier where the Jags corners were physical. It would be a concern for the Patriots. I watched the games last weekend and honestly can't remember anyone in the Jags secondary other than Mathis. I don't think they have anywhere near the personnel to compete back there. Do you guys agree?
Brian Williams is a pretty good cornerback. Yeah, I don't think that they're going to be able to compete.
Safety.
But
Reggie Nelson's had a very good rookie year, and I think he's a cocky.
Yep.
He's going to try to make a play. Whether he does or not, I don't know.
He's not going to pussyfoot
around out there and be scared of Randy Moss. Yeah. He's going in thinking, I'm going to be the rookie who knocks Randy Moss on his butt. Now, that may end up with Randy Moss dancing in the end zone in front of him. I don't know. But I like his swagger. I like his, I'm from Florida, I'm a playmaker swagger.
See, I don't necessarily like that out of a free safety. I like what LaRon Landry and Ed Reed do. I mean, they have confidence, but they make sure their first order of business is you don't beat them deep. They play that center field. I worry about those guys who want to make a play or too jacked up to make a play. Well, Brady's going to like it when he throws the ball over his head for a touchdown.
I just don't like that.
I kind of side with Tom a little bit on that, with that position. Specifically that position.
Because you're the last line of defense there.
Make a play.
Oh, hey, look, if he goes out and makes the plays, then I don't care how he plays.
Too many people are scared of Randy Moss.
I don't care how anybody, look, I don't get bothered by
23 touchdowns, but
Deion Sanders never bothered me with his brash, because he always made the plays. So you go out and make the plays, I don't care. That's not being, you're not being cocky, you're backing it up. But I just think that as a rookie playing that position, I think there's a better chance that you give up 2 big plays than you make 2 pins.
And I may be wrong here, but I don't think Jacksonville presses a lot, do they? They play more off, and they try to be physical with you down the field. And I think that's going to be a problem, because to beat Moss, you got to play like the Eagles played him and kind of hit him at the line. So I just don't think it's a good matchup.
I will say the pick that Mathis had that he returned for a touchdown was Samuel-esque. It was a very similar play. He undercut a slant that wasn't really his guy. Kind of read the play, and I was surprised that he hasn't had many picks this year.
He had one, I think.
Yeah. I was surprised about that based on the way he plays and the way I remembered him playing, and then sure enough he comes up with 2 in the playoffs.
And we should mention, Holmes scored that touchdown late, but other than that, he totally shut him down, just shut him right out. And so I would assume they're going to put him on Moss, but who knows.
Josh also says, as one of the official answer men for PFW, i.e. one of the people who consistently provides reliable yet pointless information relevant to the show current content, I email Frank Cooney to politely ask if he voted for Brady as last year's NFL MVP. As you might expect, that douchebag did not write back in the last hour and a half. I doubt he did.
Okay. Well, I appreciate the effort on your part. That's the Sports Exchange guy whose argument is, you know, Favre had a worse team that was expected. And I said, well, then he should have voted for Brady last year when he didn't have anybody at receiver and he led him to an AFC title
game. And I would also ask that he vote for Belichick for Coach of the Year last year, because if we're going by that theory for Coach of the Year, I thought Belichick did a phenomenal job last year getting the Patriots to the AFC Championship. I just think
if
that's
stupid.
If
he has his rules and he's consistent, okay. Listen, but if he didn't vote for Brady last year, then he's
you
a
can argue that you can vote for Brett Favre. You can argue you could vote for Tony Romo. But here's the thing. Brady threw 50 touchdown passes and almost 5,000 yards. His team went 16-0. There's no argument there. I mean, if that guy doesn't get the MVP, I think some of these guys have to be a little different.
Well, who is Frank Cooney?
He started Sports Exchange.
Oh, he started
That ridiculous joke of a industry that employs employs
hacks
just
everywhere.
Incompetent journalists.
Speaking of
incompetent journalists, Mike Parenti.
They will be on the next show. Anyway, Dave from Cambridge says, I heard you talking about how the Pats play the last few games of the regular season and wanted to contribute this. A month ago, I heard Jim Miller on Sirius Radio, who was a third stringer on the Pats in 04, talking about this subject. He said, without a doubt, Belichick does definitely play decoy games the last couple of games of the regular season. Especially, he cited the game against the 49ers and said the coaching staff held back a lot of schemes and called plays they ordinarily never would for that game.
Wasn't that that terrible 49ers team that they pounded into the ground?
I think that's entirely two different things. That San Francisco game, the starters didn't play most of it. They didn't need the game. They didn't need to win the game. They didn't take it all that seriously, and certainly they're not going to game plan and do anything they're going to do in the playoffs. Whereas down the stretch this year, they were chasing history, and they wanted to win every game. And I think that they did, you know. Do I think they, like I said, I don't think they threw the kitchen sink at teams defensively, but I also don't think they went out there and played, you know, 6-2 stack monster every play and you know, stuck with one defense the whole way, the way Andy described with the Giants, where they would play 95% of the snaps and cover two and do no blitzing or anything like that. I don't think that was the case.
I think teams should play the 62 stack monster.
62 stack monster.
The hell's a 62 stack monster?
Everybody else besides you knew what I was talking about.
It's taint?
It's from all the right moves.
It's taint.
Let's see.
Michael Parenti, who'll be on next hour,
he
knows
what 6'2 stack monster
is. Mike Parenti
knows what
taint
is.
Well,
Parenti and
I way
you?
Around
Parenti
taint.
And Parenti, how old are you? And how old are you?
29.
And he knew a 6'2 stack.
Parenti and I would argue the Giant Cowboy game, except I think the Giants are going to win. He thinks the Cowboys are going to win, so it's not going to be much fun.
Right.
You're both anti-fans. You know, you put up this barrier.
No.
You don't want to be disappointed, so you go into the game thinking your team's going to lose so that when they do.
You do have an element of that.
Yeah.
I think you're right in this particular case because of the way Dallas stumbled down the stretch. You do always think they're going to lose, and I think it's your way of preparing yourself
when they were peaking, when Green Bay was coming in, remember when I was talking all that smack? If they were good, you'd never hear the end of it. I just don't think it's going to happen for them. Okay. I'm not picking them to lose the game, by the way.
But you haven't thought it was going to happen for them 14 out of 16 weeks.
That's not true.
I thought you were picking them to lose the game. No, the Giants were going to play Green Bay.
No, I'm picking the Giants to cover the line.
Oh, okay.
TG,
ready? 1, 2, 3, 4.
I don't know what that sound bite means.
TJ wants to know.
Transcripts are in.
Oh.
TJ wants to know, what does Hans und Franz think of Norv Turner now? He did do something Marty didn't win that elusive playoff
game. Yeah, play
game.
On Wild Card Weekend because Marty Schottenheimer had a bye. That's
Marty,
the dumbest argument I've ever heard.
Marty was so good he avoided that round altogether.
Holy crap, if you lose more games in the regular season, yes, you get to play a crappy team on the first weekend of the playoffs.
I think he's a terrible football coach.
Wow, Andy Hart riled up.
And then
up.
He tried to pretend he's this hard-ass coach in the second half. He's going around yelling, barking at people. Then he's crying like Dick Vermeil afterward. He is a fraud. He doesn't know what he's supposed to be because he realized that being himself doesn't work.
Who's this emailer, Fred?
Andy Hart.
That was
a terrible email.
TG and NJ.
TG, keep sending those emails. I love that reaction from Andy.
I'll make this bet with you.
Hans und Franz.
I'll make this bet with you, TG. If the Steelers or the Chargers make the playoffs next year, you come here, I'll give you a tour, I'll give you a jersey, I'll give you anything you want. That's how sure I am that those two coaches suck.
That's how sure I am.
Are
you don't
going
pay
down
your,
the toilet.
Your bets. You'll give him anything he wants.
By the way, Tom never pays up. So
well, I'm going to pay for your stupid Ruth and Chris meal that you're going to get.
We do have a special surprise Friday. I don't want to give it away yet, though.
Yeah.
We have a special visitor on Friday.
Yes, fans will love it.
It's Friday or Thursday?
You know about this?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I thought it was going to be Thursday. I'm leaving early.
If you're a PFW in Progress fan, you have to tune in Friday.
It's must-listen to radio on Friday.
All our fans, tell your friends to listen.
I have a feeling things are going to get out of hand, but that's okay.
Could be.
It is Friday.
The most entertaining and or awkward show in the history of this show.
So you really do.
I'm a scared.
You absolutely.
I'm a scared too.
You absolutely have to tune in. And don't say, oh, I'm going to download it after Friday night. You
got
to be here for it.
This is like American Idol. You can't watch it on tape. This will be all over the news.
Yeah, you're going to hear about it through the grapevine. You don't want that to happen. You want the real thing.
Now, you probably will want to download it for posterity.
Right.
But, or posteriore, as that's the case may be. But, you're going to want to hear this live.
That was forced, Fred.
Yeah, I knew he was going
it?
There.
Yeah,
yeah.
A little bit.
Okay. Stripper says, before Kraft bought the team, were there many games blacked out locally? I don't recall that, but someone argued with me on a message board linked it to Kraft's bio, blah, blah. Yes, there were a lot of blacked out games because they stunk.
It was the root of the Andy Hart love of Bo Jackson because I watched the Raiders instead.
Yeah, most of them were blacked out. Matter of fact, I want to say in 90, or that was the 1-15 year, I believe. The only home game that was not blacked out was the last game of the year against the Giants because there were about 50,000 Giants fans in the stands.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Stay tuned for Patriots Playbook with guest hosts Mike Parenti and Christopher Price, and they're going to just do it for you. And, you know, anything you say to us, you can say to them. Goodbye.
Listeners all over the world are discovering PFW in Progress.
Oh, my God. What the f*** is this?
Patriots.com Radio.